our profession.
Middle of the afternoon. Good afternoon. Gary Meyer, the Taste of Chicago has started today, and the taste is lead. Lead is the taste. Mm. Leslie is here to kick things off with some news, and then the opening, and then Tom Skilling. They shut down the Dan Ryan after that shooting for hours. What were they hoping
to... From 4 a.m. until afternoon.
What were they hoping to see?
Like I said, unless they were making plaster casts of the entire area, I cannot understand why they had to keep it closed that long.
They didn't close Dealey Plaza that long after Kennedy was shot.
And apparently it took them quite a while to remove the victim from the car. But there was another woman in the car at the time. She was unhurt, and another guy.
The woman was dead right there, so they had no urgency to get her to the hospital.
Dead at the scene. So that took a while, but there was another woman in the vehicle. She wasn't hurt, so she was there. And another guy who was in the car took off running.
Who was in their car?
In that van with them. So it seems like you've got all the information you need right there.
Yeah, and they got the security cameras.
Collect some.
That's already on tape.
Bullet casings. Take some pictures. And I seriously, I don't understand.
CSI puts those little numbers down.
I know what.
Zip, zip.
What they put the chalk outline, although she was in the car, so that's chalked right in the car.
Right.
That was for hours. I kept hearing about it. Still closed. Still
Eight
closed.
Hours.
Are we ready to go?
Managers, I wonder if he's hiring any more sports guys for the station.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.FM.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Alaska and Piatone. The New York Yankees have filed a complaint with Chicago PD because a Chicago cop who served as extra security at U.S. Cellular asked Derek Jeter for an autograph for a police charity event.
What did you say?
Because Jeter is retiring, his signature will be going up in value.
Is this just math that you do to make yourself feel better, or is this real?
The incident is being investigated because sources are questioning the authenticity of it being for a police charity. We had over 80 people shot over the weekend, 15 dead. Yeah, we'll get right on that well-paid ballplayer signature complaint right away.
Oops.
Target Field in Minneapolis is the first Major League Baseball stadium to roll out self-serve beer machines that let fans decide exactly what size brew that they're ready for.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
I'd love to see this installed in Philadelphia for Eagles fans.
No!
Let the FUN begin.
Okay.
Yeah, I need a big brew right here. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting free and clear of the man.
You guys want to get fired? Just keep it up.
On the Super G, the Garrett Force, WGN.FM. The F is for flying from Chicago.
Shine a light. Shine a light.
All the many times I've sung this song.
Philadelphia freedom. I love you. Yes, I do.
You have to point your hand in the air when you say shine the
do
light.
Do I? Yeah, really?
That's what you have to do in the concert.
Okay. No, nothing like a 50-year-old man doing that.
That's right.
And that's the guy in the audience. There's a 70-year-old man on stage doing it.
Yeah, right.
Singing it.
Yeah, that tells us how old we're getting, right, Gary? I'm telling you, it's like Mick Jagger. One day they're going to roll him out in a wheelchair, you know, and then he really will be a Rolling Stone, you know?
Look at you working it. When do you open at Zanies?
Not soon,
You're
I'll tell you
that. You're on fire, my man. Watch what you say. We got Mecca, Mr. McCartney, Sir Paul is in town tonight.
Yeah, that I understand that.
My friend Ron Lamar called me. He's the guy who runs the corrugated box company.
Yeah.
Everything comes in a box.
Yes.
He called me. He's going tonight. He goes, dude, You going tonight? Because we had gone to a McCartney or two show a few years ago, and I said, no, I'm not going to go, but I will have Ron on tomorrow to recap. And are you going? You can't go. You're working.
No, I would love to go. I
you ever seen him in concert?
No, I have not. You know, other than on videos of a concert. But I talked to some folks who saw him up in Milwaukee, and they said he puts on a heck of a show.
Yeah, he jams it out. And speaking of an older rock star, he's 72 now.
Isn't that something?
That's hard to believe.
It really is.
A Beatle is 72.
Did you ever think we'd get to the point where we saw our rock stars over 70? It's pretty, and yet they're doing pretty well.
They're the ones that fill these big arenas, those workhorses.
I saw a concert with Blondie a couple years ago, and I think she was about 66 at the time, wasn't she? Something like that.
She has to be.
Yeah.
And she's still out there
doing
grinding
great.
It out.
I know. I know. It makes me tired just thinking about it, you know? So, and I just stand in front of a weather map, you know? So
And you have to lie down after that 15 minutes is over.
And by 15 minutes,
I'm talking about 9
sure.
to 10.
Yeah.
They do a little swing in your chair at 9:15.
That's right.
9:30, you do about 5-6 minutes.
You know, it's getting harder to hold the hand up, Gary, you know, Dave. And so
that is an awkward moment. I wish they let you talk because they go to you and then you swing around and you're thinking, I should say something, but my microphone is not on.
Yeah. One time they told me, you know, oh, you're going to have a talking tee. So I did that. And it turns out it wasn't a talking tee. So here I am talking with my lips moving and nobody can hear anything, you know. What's really horrifying is when you turn around and they give a headline about what you're supposedly going to talk about and it doesn't match your forecast.
Oops.
So I think, you know, sometimes, you know, Tom Skilling will talk about this rainstorm that's coming. And I sometimes think it might be funny just to shake my head no.
Why don't you write something on a poster board and hold it up tonight?
That's a thought.
Got some good weather coming up. Just put that on there, and at least you're being heard some way.
That's an interesting point. And you've always pointed to product placement in these moments. You always point out that this is a tease that we ought to be getting a little more out of.
So. I'm just always trying to move forward.
You are. By the way, I saw the boss yesterday. I saw Jen Lyons, and I said, you know, we were talking about you when I talked to Gary. And she said, oh? And I said, yes. I said, Gary said, well, I think I'm on good paper with her. And so I said.
And her reaction?
Well, it.
Gary who?
It wasn't. Yeah. No, it wasn't. It wasn't negative, so I don't know.
That's like saying she's got a good personality.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything bad.
No, she just
kept walking.
No, but I mean, you know, if there had been an immediate negative response, I'd have seen that, and I didn't see that.
Good, so. You're a good body reader.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel like she just crunched up or anything.
No. And then, you know, Mr. Snyder said, hey, you know, it would be great to get in the line of Meyer back on again.
Really enjoyed doing that stuff.
I know. That was funny. It was a moment to laugh, and there aren't many of those around when we cover the news these days, so that's good.
Well, I'll follow up and see what the temperature is.
Yeah.
And report back.
I think so, Gary. That's great.
And I have that story with the people getting their own beer at Target Field.
Yeah, I saw that dispenser, the machine there.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah. Where did I see that? I saw it somewhere online, I think it was. But, that looked like kind of a monstrosity of a machine, didn't it?
I haven't seen it. I just got the story. It says the self-serve beer station debuted Sunday.
Can you imagine that the head on the beer, you know, every time one of those, how would you build a machine to handle that?
Well, it says here.
But they must have done it.
It debuted Sunday against the Yankees in Minneapolis. A second station is expected to be added in time for the All-Star Game, which is in Minneapolis this year.
Yeah.
To buy a brew from the vending machine, buyers prove their age at a concession stand and purchase a vending card. The card is used at the vending machine where buyers can tap up to 48 ounces every 15 minutes.
Is that right?
The machine offers four beers, Bud Light, Shock Top Lemon Shandy, and Goose Island 312 Urban Pale Ale. That's a local brew.
Wow. So how do they know that you've exceeded your 48 limit? You put a driver's license
in
or
must
something?
Be, on the card, there must be a, you've had enough
Can't
moment.
You see the day coming when these machines, you know, scan your irises like they did on, say, the Spielberg Minority Report movie? Or
every eye is unique like fingerprints, and I'm surprised we haven't gone to that eye recognition.
I know.
Capability. The machine stopped dispensing beer by the seventh inning.
Ah, okay.
About 30 years ago, my first partner, Steve, and I are in Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had done a show up there or something, and a friend of his, we're at a party, And this guy says, I have this technology where you can be identified with your eye print. This is 30-some years ago.
That's amazing.
And I thought, oh, okay. Yeah. And here we are. Eye prints, as I mentioned, are as unique or maybe more unique than fingerprints. And why we don't use this technology, I don't know if this guy ever trademarked, patented, or whatever you would do with that, but he was talking about this 30-some years
ago.
Isn't
that something? Yeah. It's incredible how this stuff works. Or how about these face recognition programs that they've got, you know, from cameras? But the only thing is, when they start shining lights in my eyes, I get a little bit nervous about that.
You're
you know?
On television.
It's kind
how
of...
How do you get... Yeah, that's well, all they do is shine light in your eyes.
I know, but it's a highly concentrated light, and I always think of lasers, you know, when I see highly concentrated things. It's like, I don't want this LASIK surgery.
I can't bring myself to that
either. This scares the devil out of me, because I think, you know, somewhere down the road they may say, oh, you know, 20 years down the road they found out that something terrible is going to happen, because they haven't done that yet, but you worry that something like that might happen.
I can't have anybody slicing off a...
Yeah.
piece of my eye, and that's what they do. They slice something on the cornea.
Yeah.
But everybody that I've heard that has had it done, they love it.
Yeah, and they say it's great, and you can dispense with glasses. And, you know, it doesn't take many pairs of glasses to pay for that procedure, because those are pretty expensive.
You have never worn contact lenses?
I have not. I haven't done that.
And you can't wear them? You've tried or don't want to?
I've never tried, Gary, but I just can't imagine. It's the idea of putting something in my eye like that, I would think it would be uncomfortable. I think I'd be one of these people that would bother.
No.
Have you
done
that?
I've had them for 35 plus years.
Yeah. You told me you lost one time.
Oh, several times. One, I think, was in a pizza that somebody ate. Traced it back to that.
Is that right?
But I had that incident recently where I'm in our storage locker and looking for something, and one pops out. And there's
in the
this
darkness
thing,
of
and
a storage locker.
This thing is piled with stuff, and I thought, come on. And I got a flashlight, and I found it. So I figured, that says things are okay.
Wow. Now, was that one of those disposable ones?
No, I take them out at night.
Gotcha.
And the disposable ones, I guess you could wear over and over 24/7.
Now, are these things pliable at all, or are they like glass?
Mine are hard because of my astigmatism.
I see.
But the overnight ones, they're very soft because you're sleeping with them.
Sure.
I went one time 24 hours without taking them out because I was, partying.
Yeah.
And just didn't get home in time to take them out. And it turned out to be 24 hours. Oh, that was hell.
Really?
I couldn't wear them for a couple of days until my eyes got fixed better. And that is painful when you have them.
I'll bet.
Yeah, that you have to take out at night. You can't go that long.
Because there's nothing more painful than, you know, look at when you get a grain of sand or something stuck in your eye.
Have that when you're walking down the street and something blows in there and it starts to rub against between the lens and the eye. That is bad.
I remember when I was young, my little sister, she was playing down in the rec room, we called it, and she scratched her eye. And, boy, we had to get her to a doctor. She was in horrible pain. And that, you know, so that's nothing to fool with. That's a very sensitive
on Friday
area of the body.
When we were at my mother-in-law's, that's the way you say that, on the 4th,
yes.
They got some sparklers. My wife and daughter got some sparklers.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what's exact. I forgot to find out if fireworks are legal in Pennsylvania or not. Anyway, sparklers seem to be everywhere.
Smuggle them in.
Get them at the grocery store. So we lit some sparklers, and it brought back that memory of when I was a kid.
Oh.
And after we did sparklers, they cooled off, and then a piece of one got in my eye.
Oh.
And I was about 5.
Ooh.
It was cooled off. It wasn't hot because those things are so hot.
But still it would scratch the surface of your
eye. All I remember is my uncle holding my head back and trying to find that piece for a long time.
Wow.
And they finally got it out, but I'll never forget that, and that was a long time ago.
And that was the last sparkler?
Yeah, that's
that
why whenever I get near a sparkler, I start to think about that.
Yeah.
My daughter thinks I'm a soft pretzel now.
Well, those things are really dangerous. You know, there's another one.
They're 1,200 degrees when they light those. Have you ever seen that number?
It's true. And, you know, remember how as kids it was like riding our bikes without a helmet back in those days. You never thought about holding a sparkler.
No, we were waving them around and grabbing them. And
here we had a deadly instrument in our hand, or at least they tell us that now.
When they bring a cupcake or a birthday cake in a restaurant with a sparkler in it, I'm thinking that thing is shooting those hot sparks on my lap and whatnot.
I know.
Getting
remember
out
that
of the way.
And they never burned that I remember, did they?
I,
Did you get burned?
I would imagine
it?
If you put your hand right into those sparks, they're going to burn.
But you never would do that, you know.
Well, it's just I'm just walking through the restaurant, and this thing's going all over. Who knows if somebody's hairspray gets in the line of fire?
Right, it ignites. They have a flammable hairspray or something, and ignite their hair. That would be quite a scene.
So, they bought it's a package of six, mm-hmm. right? And it was all I love. Like I said before, I love the packaging of fireworks, and the boxes are very nicely decorated. And I'm thinking, well, there must be 50, 60 sparklers here.
Yeah.
There were five in a box. The box is huge. Yeah, right. They're wrapped in plastic. There are five.
Wow.
And there's six, so that's 30 total. And this thing was like it had 100 sparklers in there. You'd light them, and it was all of 40 seconds for each one. So then I thought, well, this is boring. So I took all five and lit all five at the same time. Oh. That was over in 40 seconds. There's your evening.
Wow. When was this? Just last week?
Friday.
Wow.
4th of July.
Now, why are they packaging them for safety reasons
they just package them. So you think when you buy, they were shrink-wrapped, boxes of six were shrink-wrapped, you're thinking, I must get a bunch. And I looked at it, I said, hey, there are five in each box. Yeah. This is going to be over in about 2 minutes.
Right.
And then we can return to our homes.
Yeah. I don't know. I always had fun. Those were fun. But, you know, a firecracker. Now, did you have firecrackers? We never had those.
Oh, yeah. That was the big deal to get a pack, or if you could get a brick, you were rich.
Oh, yeah.
If you could get a brick of firecrackers.
Well, it was fun watching the neighbors send them off. But I told you about the guy, my neighbor, who was the car dealer, and he would sleep all day. And every year on the 4th of July, he would drop what we called ash cans at that time out the window. And his son would pick them up. His sons, who were our friends, would pick them up and throw them back up to the window. And these things were burning. And
ash cans. I've never heard that.
Is that right?
What is that?
That's what they called those things. They were like small, sticks of TNT. They looked like. So here, this thing is flaming, and these kids run and, I was horrified by it because I thought, one of these days, one of these things is going to go off and take their. It was crazy.
So the father would throw them out the window,
The father would throw it out the window, lit.
And then
the kid would pick it up,
lit.
Throw it back, and then he would pick it up and throw it back.
So that was the game, to see when it would blow up.
I guess. It was a strange family. They lived in a home that was like, something out of the Addams Family. It was really
This was your next-door neighbor?
Yes. Out in New Jersey when I was living out there. Yeah, it was. So I can talk about it now because they probably aren't going. Well, of course, we're on the Internet now. They might be listening out there. So,
hey.
We haven't given a name, so.
It doesn't matter. There are no rules.
Wow.
In fact, I had a vote in my office before the show. You sent me something.
I know.
And I listened to it.
Isn't that right?
I took a vote amongst the people in my office.
No.
Should I play it? And everybody said, hey, play it. This is a bit.
Are you going to play that? Seriously?
Why not, if I'm on the Internet and have no rules, why not take advantage of that?
Gee. Gary, I think it probably is not a good idea. This is a takeoff on a.
Oh, look at the buildup. I like this. Tom says no.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble. I just thought this was.
You think I'll get in trouble?
I don't know. Who knows?
From who?
I don't know.
There's no management reason. Doesn't listen. I've proven that. I've talked about them over the last month, and it's been
NSA listens to everything, so
off base for them, and nobody's come in and said anything.
Gary, just think, every word that you're muttering is probably going to be on a supercomputer the rest of our lives.
In fact, even when I leave a message for them, they don't return that, and then they'll say I never got it. Case in point, today.
If you were
listening yesterday, there's this Keith guy who is shadowing Craig, my producer.
Right. Your new producer. Yeah.
And Dilbert came in and explained what that was. Mm-hmm. But when it was all over, I knew there was some other story. So as the afternoon progressed, I asked Keith and Craig and everything else that I could do in the process. I said, what's going on? And then when I put it all together, they're trying to, in my mind, phase Craig off my show.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, who knows? So today, I come in because I wanted to get my office straightened out after the move.
Right.
So I spent about 3 hours after the show and then another 4.5 today, and I got it finally up to speed.
Yeah.
So I'm here at about 9:30, and then Keith shows up, and he's sitting in Craig's chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I
thought... Boy, the body's not even cool now.
I'm thinking, what's going to happen when Craig shows up?
The
chair's
not even cool.
So Craig shows up, and now he's standing there, and it's awkward. And I said to Keith, what have they told you to do? I thought you were a shadow. And then Craig went, that's kind of my chair and my phone and my computer right now. So then I thought, well, I got to get this straightened out. This is clumsy for everybody. So I called Dilbert, leave him a message.
Dilbert.
Nothing. No return.
Wow.
Nothing. And then he sends me an email about that deal he mentioned yesterday of doing the show on the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower, which I really got ramped up for. He said we could do it this Friday.
Really? Well, what's that all about? No, I didn't hear you talk about this.
Well, he said, hey, let's do stuff like the 22nd floor is available so you can do your show on...
Would this be the colonel's office up there?
No, this is outside.
Oh, on the balcony up there. Yeah, that's pretty good. They have a grill up there and everything else.
It's a nice perch.
Yes.
And I said, great, and I can invite listeners. Yeah, we'll do it this Friday. Right. Very spontaneous.
Wouldn't that be great?
3 hours after he tells me that, I get an email. Can't do it this Friday. Can't do it. Well, then why'd you get me all excited? So then the only response I got from him today, he sent an email about doing that at a couple Fridays from now.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I want to do
it. You could barbecue out there and kind of have a whole, you know.
Howells and Hood, who run the restaurant on the first floor, they operate the 22nd floor, so... Maybe we can hit them up for some food and stuff.
That'd be great. It'd be like a Christmas show, only instead of on the top of the Hancock building, it would be on the 22nd floor of Tribune Tower.
So that's the only response. Still haven't cleared up what is happening with the shadow. Only the shadow knows right now. Yeah. So Craig, they're jockeying. It's musical chairs. Craig has to sit down first, otherwise Keith will sit down.
It's Creed.
It's Creed.
Creed.
I got Creed. So as soon as I figure that out, I'll be able to move forward. But as far as getting back to the case in point here, as far as them listening, that's not even remotely happening. So you say I shouldn't play this.
I would not.
Then why did he send it to you?
Yeah. Well, why did he tease you like that?
I thought you'd do it. In fact, I played it for Ramsey back here in the office.
What was his reaction?
Oh, the two
hysterical,
of us.
Hysterical, right?
Oh, my God. You know, this is one of those things we started laughing, stopped laughing about an hour and a half later.
But 200,000 people have seen it.
Yeah.
This was out in April. Yeah. Today was the first I've heard of it.
I had never seen it before.
And it's only because Tom sent it to me, but it's been out since April, and, 200,000 people have checked it out?
Almost 300, so...
Almost 300,000. Yeah. That's a majority.
Is that, by the way, the woman who originally sang that song?
It can't be. No, it's not.
Okay.
As Travolta called her, Madame Bazaar.
Was that the one he introduced improperly? Oh.
Idina Menzel.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Whatever he called her. But this is a knockoff.
It is.
And it is salty.
It is.
As Roy Leonard would say.
Yes.
There's some language.
I think it's spicy.
Is it spicy?
It's even more than salty.
It's more than salty. Yes. It's spicy.
It's spicy. Yeah.
I have to tell you, there are F-bombs and S-bombs.
Yes.
And if strong language is not your bag, if you're more of a lover of weak language, this is not for you.
No, it's more of a blitzkrieg than just a few bombs.
Yeah.
I have to warn you. Although I played that Pink song a few weeks ago, and she's... You had a crap day. And I think songs like this are liberating. They make you feel like you're getting some anger out and other things instead of letting it bottle up.
Think of it. Yeah. When I first heard that, I thought it was a riot.
It's a stream.
If I can't do it here, where do I do it?
Well, it's an interesting point.
Tom doesn't want any piece of it.
Yeah. Well, you sent it to me. Now you got me all ramped up.
I know.
You started it.
If I can't share it with people, then why live?
And what is this, show 28? If you haven't done
it. Show 28.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's just me.
Let me ask you this, because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Do you not want to be associated with it when I play it?
I already am.
Because I don't want you to be in a trick bag if somebody's going to say something. Well, I'm listening to Tom, and then they played this song.
Right,
it's not, what is it? Spicy.
Spicy.
It's more than salty.
Yeah. It's much more than
salty. The background is apparently it's done by some student who's facing an exam, but I just thought it had applications beyond that,
It is one of those songs where, again, when you hear it, you just think, oh, yeah, that's a nice tension reliever.
It really is.
So I will play it. And, again, Tom has nothing to do with it outside of the fact that he sent it to me.
Yeah, right.
He's the instigator, and he runs away.
Here's a text at 312-521-8600. While you're on vacation, 1,008 people moved away from Illinois. That's from Jill. Because one person moves out every 10 minutes.
Boy, it to Jill. She's doing her
1,008 gone while I was on vacation.
Right. Well, you made mention of the
how
fact.
Many, okay,
how many do we
three
lose
have left in the first half hour of the program?
Wow.
I don't mean from the program. I mean from the state.
Right.
But after the song, I don't know. But I'm giving everybody fair warning, so get ready. I'm going to play a little warning.
Take an internet vote.
Okay, if you want me to play, because right. people, what person does not slow down for a car wreck
exactly.
out there?
But this way, you have a buffer. You say, hey, the people wanted it. Yeah, the people voted. It wasn't
and
me.
Here's where I was right on that one. Remember when Blavoy, whatever his name is, Blago was going to prison, and he was giving that speech in front of his house, and I did not want to take it.
Right.
They said, it's your choice.
Right.
Because they said, he's just going to be a bag of air. There's not going to be anything he's going to say that's going to be anything that we want to hear. Oh, you make the decision. So I said, okay, I'll tell you, I'll have the listeners decide. Okay. It was overwhelming. Don't play it.
Don't play it.
No. I didn't want to play it. And then management comes in, you have to play it. Well, then why'd you say it's your choice? Why do you do that? I want people to tell me what they want me to. Now, again, you know what's going to happen here.
Right. Well, we've teased people. This is kind of
they're going to say, yes.
I've heard it, and I want
to
hear it.
Look, I know. We listen to this kind of. Yeah, I, you know, this stuff's passed around as, you know, it's part of the Internet age now. But it is kind of clever.
Oh, it's fantastic. Don't play it. I've got kids in the car.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to give you a warning, and then you can turn it down for about 3 minutes.
Oh.
And then you're free and clear. As soon as you hear her singing, it doesn't start. The F-bombs don't start for about a minute and a half.
I'm trying to think who turned me on to this thing. I didn't expect what I was hearing, and which makes it even funnier, you know.
I know so. He sends this email to me. I got to read it as you sent it to me because it's funny the way.
Yes.
In the subject line, you've got to love this, in capital letters, Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what it was. So I'm listening. I'm like, okay, it sounds like Medina Bazuna or whatever her name is.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
here it comes.
You got to be patient. You got to wait.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boom. And I'm going to play it.
Right.
Like this text says, play the damn song, Stunag.
Yeah, I know. Here we are.
Let's
this
play the warning.
Sorry.
You're going to be warned, and then it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Play the warning.
Warning. The following audio contains strong adult and uncensored language. The Gary Meyer Show gives you permission to slightly turn down your volume, or we hope for an extreme amount of buffering to be had on your end. Either way, we don't give a
That's the anarchy that the stream is all about. If I don't use the freedom, then I might as well be on old media.
Right. Yeah.
And play by their rules. I'm done with their rules.
No rules.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Enjoy.
Clock ticks by too fast this time, not a moment to be lost. A stack of books around me, and it looks like it's the day. Finals are coming, and we all must try our best. But if given up, I'll just swing the test. No fun today, no fun at all. No more talking on the telephone. Read this, write that, and learn it all. Can learn it all. Fuck it all, fuck it all. Can't study this anymore. Fuck it all, fuck it all. All my classes are a bore. Never bothered me anyway.
When you watch the weather tonight on Channel 9.
We still on here? Just
I want you to think, wait, Tom, this man doing the weather sent Gary that tape today.
I know.
Thank you, Tom.
But and you miss something by not seeing this animated Disney-like character singing
you
gotta
this
song.
Yeah, you got to go to the Internet for that, but at least you got the audio version.
Yeah.
What would Lourdes say?
Who?
Lourdes.
Lourdes. Oh, Lourdes.
We played it back here in the office, and everybody has seen it. It's been on the floor. So
we need that tension breaker in our little city.
I know.
With all the tragedy.
It's true.
That's going on. It's too thick. We got to cut it. That's the only way to cut it.
I know.
I hope McCartney does that tonight. Do F it all, you mother!
I usually don't do cover songs, but...
But this is a good one. F it all. I'd love it in the British accent.
Yeah, I know. I love your McCartney. That's always...
Ding!
Ding!
Bibble sent me the set list that he's doing. I assume it's the same in all cities.
I just looked at the one he did the other night in Pittsburgh.
It's the same?
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah. And he has added some things that I would like to see him do, but I don't know. I got to the point where I saw him a couple times, and every time I saw him was the same list, and I wanted to see something different. I really want Paul McCartney to go to a Chicago theater for 2 weeks, and you could charge, because he likes the ding, you could charge a lot, because you'd
imagine?
Be in that intimate setting and do whole album sides each night, different albums. Just blow my mind with something.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be fantastic?
But these guys are so competitive still. They want to fill these big arenas and make the big check and show each other how great they still are.
Don't you think, though, at this point in his career, I mean, he would get that kind of audience if he did that. I think it would be so different and novel.
Plus, he's doing a three-hour show. So what's another half hour or 40 minutes to do one side of an album? People aren't going to walk out.
No.
No, I should say not.
But it would be different, something he's never done before. And like I said, he could set up for weeks in each city and make probably as much money. It would be a longer stay, but it's all about the big arena show.
Yeah.
Rock show.
No, I think, Gary, I think that's true.
I just like to see him in that smaller setting doing something where he could just talk and get us all really engaged. When I'm 500 rows back, I can't get into it as much.
Not only that, he would probably like it, don't you think?
Breaking the mold.
I mean, just
those guys, right?
Freedom of that.
I know the Stones have done this where they just show up at a club and they say it's the best time ever because they go back to their roots.
Yeah,
they're playing for 300 people.
They just and jam.
The energy in the room is so intense because that's the way they started. But that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. It ought to, though. It's a heck of an idea. I bet somebody one of these days will do that. It'd be nice to see somebody of the stature of a McCartney do it, though.
I wonder why they... Again, I know why he doesn't, because he wants to have the biggest grossing tour. It just seems like it would be different and really engaging for him and the audience.
Yeah.
All right. 312-521-8600. Phone number and text number. Peter, first call of the afternoon. Peter, what up, bro?
This is Peter Liguori. I'm L.A. Is Tom there?
Is Don on the phone? Is Tom on the phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Peter Liguori runs the whole Tribune company.
Yes. Yes.
Tom, can you give me a call?
Yeah, that's the way. Jeez.
After your weather forecast tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to tell you this, Peter. Now that when I travel, I got used to watching the Channel 9 9 o'clock news in other cities, and I can't do that anymore. Kind of miss that.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
That's good.
That's pretty much it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's reassuring, isn't it? When the new boss says, and you're who?
I would imagine that. Yeah, I'm not on his radar or anybody in that echelon's radar. Which is good. I like being off the grid. This is very different and relaxing. It's a good way to broadcast, I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at some point, I don't know if it's unfortunate, I don't want to say it that way, you have to have commercials because you got to make money. Otherwise, we're just sitting here as a hobby.
Yeah.
And there will be commercials at some point, and that's just going to have to be part of the plan. It might be a different structure, but this wide-open format I find very engaging.
Yeah, it really is. And you know you're going to get commercials.
I hope.
Gary, I'm always amazed at, I hear from folks all the time that say they're listening all online. So, you know, you've got quite a following.
Thank you, the listener of this show, number one podcast at WGS.
Is that right? I'm
number
not surprised.
Number one podcast after we
started
this a few weeks ago.
That's very nice.
Thank you, and that's because of the listener. All the shows are podcast a couple hours after the show ends. It's on a podcast. The show is completely repeated. Starting at 7 o'clock on WGN.FM.
Oh, is that? So they repeat the whole show?
Yeah, it starts all over again at 7.
Oh, that's good.
And thank you for doing a solid hour last night, 6
Gary,
to 7.
Gary, that was fun. I had to catch up with what had been going on because I haven't talked to you for a week and a half
and
or so.
And they're expanding the newscast to Channel 9, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When does that start?
That starts in September.
And you'll be on starting at 4?
That's right. Exactly.
4 till 6.
Yes.
And then 9 to 10. And
that's
in the
right.
morning, they're trying to make that whole morning from 4 a.m. all the way through 1 o'clock. They're trying to do that whole block there as news and whatever they're going to do, right? That's
well,
the goal.
I don't know. That hasn't been
announced
yet.
They're very close.
We're heading in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the weekend, too, with Bob Jordan and Jim Ramsey, they're doing something else.
In fact, that's what Jim was in for.
What are they doing?
Just a moment ago.
They're expanding that, to a 5 o'clock on
That's right. That's right. There's a 5 o'clock show starting on the weekend.
So that is the goal, to lock as many of those hours in for them locally, because then they own all that as opposed to buying programming or putting something else on, like a rerun.
Right. We have the infrastructure in place. The whole group is here. And, you know, there's precedent for that. Pat Harvey, who anchored here for many years, went out to KCAL in California, in Los Angeles, and they started doing that some time ago. The whole evening primetime went to news.
Well, if not for Rachel Ray, they would go from 4 a.m. to 1.
Is that the only show left?
Yeah, it's on at 10 to 11.
That's all that's left between. Yeah,
because
there's only one hour of non-Channel 9
programming now.
Rachel Ray is the only thing.
And you can make cheeseburgers and stuff during the weather forecast.
That's right.
Pick up her slack.
I'll make a salad or something. We'll invite viewer suggestions for meals. Cook. Yeah. That's one way to get out of the office here. You know, I don't have a window, but we can go out to the back patio where the grill is.
Yeah, if I'm double R, I'm starting to worry about my hour on Channel 9 right now, because that's bookcased, it's bookended by other.
Well, I think it's already been announced. She's leaving us. She's going over to one of the other stations.
Oh, okay. Then she's got another gig. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to happen.
Maybe they'll throw Maury in there. You are not the father.
Yeah. All right.
I told you I wasn't the father.
You can't beat that.
You know,
the guy makes $10 million a year just taking DNA tests.
I know. But why would you go on a show like that if you were?
I've asked that question.
I
would be very embarrassed, but these people seem to really enjoy it.
I guess it's, they're 10 seconds of fame, whatever. But
I wish I owned that DNA place.
Yeah, they get a lot of business.
Yes.
Well, plus they get a trip to the big city and a stay at a Best Western or something.
You're right. They're 15 minutes.
Leslie has her finger on the pulse of this. That's probably what it is.
And then when they are the father.
Oh.
Look out.
Very depressed.
Do they get gifts or something because they now have to take care of the baby together? What do they get besides the hotel?
A visit from DCFS.
Yeah. Motel.
Humiliation.
Yeah. Humiliation.
National humiliation.
I like the people that go to sit in the audience for this.
Yeah.
Your day is, I'm going to shower, get dressed, I'm going to see Maury Povich tell somebody if they are a father. And I'm going to sit in the audience for that, pay for parking.
But I could feel real good about myself. Because I'm better than them, at least.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
To watch this train wreck every day?
Well, there's the other show. Then when he has the female impersonators and the audience has to guess whether it's a man or a woman.
Great.
So there's audience participation in that one.
There are two themes, that one and DNA. That's all he does.
That's literally the two formats he has.
That's it.
That's not even
every
a joke.
Every day.
Pretty much.
He makes a fortune doing this.
And he's been doing it for 20 years.
Jerry Springer, when he taped at the NBC Tower right next to the Showcase studio, we'd see the people going and coming from the taping. Wow.
Wow.
Some would stop by the window and talk.
Well, barely talk.
Well, their deal, most of them, they were unemployed and had nothing else to do. A lot of them said that.
Would they show you their bosoms?
Well, these are guys. Just their tattoos.
Their tats. Yeah. Oh. A lot of tats.
And that was their day.
It's kind of hard watching that. Do you find that?
I can't watch those shows.
It's kind of sad. I mean, you know, I think
it's
of
pathetic.
A kid.
And I'm not a highbrow PBS all the time guy. Believe me. I'll watch some junk. But that just seems like it's just watching
it's
people's
pathetic.
Misery and trouble.
I mean, it's very. It's not even sad. It's worse than sad.
Yeah. I think of the little children.
Yeah.
You know, I think, gosh, what kind of life are you going to have if that's the kind of. You know, if your mother and father are debating whether or not you're really there.
Well, one show, it was a two-parter. They had a woman on. They tested eight guys.
Jeez.
And they still didn't find him.
Jeez.
So she still couldn't find the husband.
Jeez.
Or the father after eight tests. Hey,
that part, yeah,
that was depressing.
Yeah. Off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know how many guys have you slept with, which one's the father.
Eight guys.
They went through eight, and
they went through
the
eight, and they still didn't find it. He goes, well, we'll try again.
Is there any other number you can remember?
How about another state? If you crossed any border.
We are really screwed up.
We really are.
Who's taking care of these kids, really?
I know.
You know there's some government money going that way, probably.
I don't know.
And by government, I mean taxpayer. By taxpayer, I mean, well, you know. You know?
Yeah.
Tom, I think we've all now have to smoke the cigarette after that song.
I think so.
I think we're all spent.
I know, Gary. I tell you, I probably ought to get going here on the 5 o'clock Action Weather Show. I've been pulling down numbers on, but it's always good talking to you.
Okay, I need a weather forecast. We haven't done that yet. Let me do that, and I'll use it at 6. And now, Tom, what's the weather? I got this text at 312-521-8600. Maury does lie detectors, too. Lie detector shows.
Oh, I've never seen the lie detector.
Is it a lie detector about paternity?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
I've never seen that one.
Well, there. He does three different things.
Oh, okay. So you can't pigeonhole him.
Lie detector. That has to be...
Well, that's right along with...
Right.
Probably about cheating.
That's
what else would it be? What, did you steal something from
did
the store?
Did you sleep with her sister?
Yeah, you know that's what it is.
Lie detector says you did.
Right.
And then the audience starts to stir.
And then the best part is the standard response when the audience starts to scream is the person says, "You don't know me. You don't know me.
You have no idea.
You don't know me.
About
you don't judge
me."
Yeah. I love that. You don't know me. Don't want to be honest with
and
you.
And Springer does the same thing, or is he off on some other tangent?
No, well, he usually does the cheating stuff. So this way there'll be a fight, like with are you cheating with your best friend? And then they bring the two guys out, and then they'll fight. They do, you know, Maury doesn't really do a lot of altercations. That's Springer's thing, you know. He gets the
people that... They respect each other's territory.
Yeah, and then for some reason, although like you're stealing my man... And then two women will fight, and for some reason they take their shirts off.
Shirts always come off, yeah.
Shirts
underpants
always come
show.
Off. Yeah. They just take their shirts off and fight.
The women.
The women, yeah.
You get the feeling they empty out, like, Club Allure
I swear to God.
On a Friday and then haul them over to Jerry Springer.
All of a sudden they'll do a push. They'll do that first kind of push off with their arms.
Oh,
and then,
no, you didn't.
And then the shirts come off, and then they start to wrestle.
Do they pixelate their brassieres?
Oh. No, they don't. No. They show the brassieres, but then if the brassiere like falls, then they'll pixelate that. But yeah, but usually for some reason the shirts just come off right off the top, no problem.
Next hour, Steve Wilco.
What's he do? Well, he was the bodyguard on Springer, right?
Right.
And he got his own show.
Yeah, and he was an ex-cop. That was his whole thing. So I don't know what great pearls of wisdom he dispenses.
And then they go right to one of the judge shows.
Yeah, the 15 judge shows. Yeah, it's quite... The afternoons are really a vast wasteland.
There's an opening for
That's
someone
why
who
this
can
is
do...
where you should be.
Yeah.
Can you do STD testing? Because that really hasn't been plumbed
that's
enough
true.
Yet.
You've got syphilis. Yes, I thought I had gonorrhea. All right.
You have herpes simplex number 3. Yeah.
It's
three?
It's only crabs. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, God. I didn't want the sores.
So the bejesus
belt.
Oh,
I know the other thing I need to tell you. Carmelo.
Eat something on a stick.
Carmelo is not coming to Chicago.
Oh, really?
Where is he going?
They're saying, there's confusion now because a lot of people are saying he's staying with the Knicks, but now his agent says that they haven't ruled out the Lakers.
But they have ruled out
nobody
the Bulls.
Has said anything about the Bulls.
Why are we always ruled out?
Oh, man. Isn't like, that, I mean...
But
first, it's the Olympics.
We just get used for the negotiating chip, and then they just blow out.
And those poor guys, they did, they used the whole stadium. They put the
there
big banners up,
yeah.
And they put Carmelo in a Bulls uniform on their side.
Well, they have
side,
to do that,
And they, you know, they went out to dinner with him.
Yeah, well, they have to show him all the good stuff that they think they can show him.
I know, but
what? What
but they came in third again. It's like us in the Olympics.
I know. Just
once again.
Just send a binder to Carmelo's agent with all our stuff. Much easier, cheaper, save on the dinner.
Man. And that was supposedly a lock. Oh, he's coming to the Bulls. Oh, this isn't even a question.
Yeah.
But then the Knicks just offered him, like, some amazing amount
well,
of money.
The good news is we've re-signed Taves and Kane for 8 years. That's locked down.
Wow.
And if Rose comes back and blows out something else, what's left to blow out?
An ankle.
Okay.
He's got two knees blown out.
Is there anybody else that thinks this is some kind of psychological thing?
Like, isn't that what some people are saying?
That's what I'm
that
saying. How do you
no
come back?
There's no physical
and then, oh,
reason for him not to be out there.
There is psychology to that where you don't really want to play, so my other knee's gone, and now an ankle. He's like that game Operation.
Take out ranched ankle.
Can't play.
He's got butterflies in his stomach. That's the problem.
Tonight, Macca at the United Center, I thought, well, let's play some Sir Paul. This is off Flowers in the Dirt on the Dot. That album, Flowers in the Dirt, is 25 years old.
Yeah.
And he collaborated with Elvis Costello on that album.
Several songs, yeah. Not all of them, but...
But several. And you can hear Elvis's influence on that song. And again, I mentioned this not too long ago. Ringo is in town, did something with some radio people, and I go up to him. This album had been out for a couple months. Ringo, what do you think of Paul's new album, Flowers in the Dirt? And he looked at me, my old face?
Oh.
Ouch.
Ooh, wow. Ringo.
Okay, I'll drop all that right now.
Jeez. Ringo.
Still a little sensitive back then.
Peace and love.
He turned 74 a few weeks ago.
74. I know.
Jeez.
What happens when a Beatle is 80?
Oh, my God.
Now what do we do?
74.
We didn't plan on this. We thought it was all kind of going to stay the way it was back in the day.
Although, I got to say, he looks really good. Physically, I don't know what he looks like with his clothes off, but I mean, he looks good in skinny jeans and a t-shirt.
You don't know what he looks like with his clothes off, but you've imagined.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, for 79 or 74, he looks pretty good. I mean, he's obviously dying his hair, but he's in good shape. He's in physically good shape.
Okay.
He smells like beignet, though.
Yeah.
You get close to him.
Gold Bond. 312-521-8600. That is the text and the phone number. And this text says, big reason Carmelo went back to the Knicks. Knicks could offer him 5 years, $130 million versus the Bulls.
Yeah, they gave him
only being able to offer 4 years, $75 million.
They offered him a max contract.
Because they have a ceiling.
Yeah, with all the salary cap stuff and everything.
What were you saying, Craig, in my headphones? Did I miss something?
I was talking about the text you asked me to explain to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can explain that to you. Do you want to read the text and do it this way?
Yeah, because I mentioned the app.
Yeah. You said that there was a text that came in from the 630. Gary, when you go to the podcast section of the WGN app, they have you three from the bottom. You're below people that I've never heard of before. That's true, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so they put a new thing on the app yesterday where they list all the potential podcasts that you can find. This is on the app. So a lot of people just listen live to the show on the app. They don't actually get their podcasts from that. But if you want to pull the podcast, you can do it there. And they listed all the shows that exist at this station, at the game, at everywhere, and you happen to be fairly close to the bottom.
Even at that, think about this.
Are you 14?
I have the number one podcast. Even at that. They try to kill you, and they can't.
Are you listed as number 14 on that list, maybe? 13, 14?
Get Jobo on the phone? Or which one is retired?
Jobo.
Okay, got it. I'll make sure.
I need serenity, man.
I'm not making fun of him, believe me. I just think it's funny that they got all the way to this point. And if you don't know about this, this is a radio duo that we're supposed to sign to a radio station. And in the 11th hour, one of them decided he's retired. And it just seemed funny. But beyond that was the amount of money they were going to make to play Captain and Tennille. I am thinking, wow, if that's what they're paying for that, ding.
Here's Angel Face by Captain and Tennille.
Because that's what they do.
And then poor Eddie. They didn't want Eddie by himself.
That's got to.
We got to have the tandem to introduce the songs.
You know that
Eddie is introducing the songs, probably.
Then what do you mean? Then what does Jobo do?
Well, I don't know.
The weather?
Maybe he throws in a quip. I don't know.
I don't know their dynamic.
I don't either.
I know one guy is the receiver, one guy is the giver, or however that is described in a duo.
A top, a bottom.
Because I got in a cul-de-sac on that in California once, where I was at this get-together with some radio people I had never met before, and somebody told me this one guy who was standing there was just trying to make conversation was part of a duo, so I wanted to know if he was the news guy or the whatever. So I went up to him. We started talking. I said, "So how does it work? Are you which are you?"
Yeah.
And he started to look at me funny. And then the guy, his boss, came over and he heard what I was saying. He goes, he pulls me to the side. He's gay. What are you doing?
Oh, you didn't say power bottom or anything.
No, I just thought. Oh, I said,
pitcher, catcher. Are
you
the?
You didn't say pitcher and catcher.
No. I didn't say that. I just know. How does? I said something like, "Well, how does it work between you two?" It's one of those classic mishandoffs,
right, yeah.
Like on I Love Lucy.
Right, yeah.
And it goes from there. And I kept trying to, because he seemed hesitant to respond. And I just said, well, how does it work between...
What's your favorite bit?
What do you do with the duo? How do you perform? Or however I said it, and it just came off clumsily. That's all.
Do you tip it in?
Yeah. And that's when I was pulled off of the conversation. Oh, well. That and the one about the goats, I think, are my favorite miss handoffs. As far as
what was the goat?
The goat one, you remember this one, Leslie. We did that TV show on CBS 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
And we had these goats on that fainted when there was a loud noise.
Oh, that's
noise.
Right. Yeah, right. You had
right?
That, right, I remember that. Okay.
So, okay, come back home, and they were hooking up cable in my apartment. And so the guy knocks on the door, opened the door. He goes, "Hey, how you doing?" I go, "Fine. Where are the goats?" So I thought goats was a hip term for TV monitors. So I said, "One's in the bedroom and one's in the living room." And he looked at me, "What the..." That.
You don't want to not look cool.
I thought, that must be a hip term in the cable industry.
Yeah, I could talk TV.
Yeah.
I could talk TV.
Hey, we missed the top of the hour.
Uh-oh.
Top of the hour, my man. Come on. How am I going to know when it's the top of the hour? Unless I know with the sound. My castaway. Well said.
Well said.
Spartans, what is your profession?
Bulls should have cut Rose to get Carmelo since Rose wouldn't help recruit him. Kobe Bryant returned early from his vacation to recruit Carmelo.
Yeah, apparently there was a whole thing that Derrick Rose was kind of ambivalent about being a recruiting tool.
So you got to figure he'd feel in the shadow of a Carmelo.
And he did not go, but apparently then he did. He played it off like
a video.
Well, he played it off like he happened to just be rehabbing at the facility when Carmelo showed up. Oh, you're here?
Oh, I didn't know. I was busy rehabbing.
But apparently Derek did not go to the high-powered dinner, which other Bull players did as well as management. So
all right. Well, we're not getting him. So
yeah, it doesn't matter.
The Bulls
swing and a miss.
The Bulls should have sent one of your Jim Ramsey recordings to Carmelo why he should come to Chicago. If he heard those, he'd be a Bull today.
There you go.
Yeah, because Ramsey sells it like nobody's business.
Yeah, I think the $50 million extra from New York is going to sell it.
Anybody named after the two lead characters in The Sopranos, Carmela and Anthony, needs to play in New York or New Jersey.
Right.
Well, and Phil Jackson now, you know, is the president of the Knicks, too. So he's helping to screw the Bulls again.
Well, is that his goal?
No, but I mean it's funny how...
did well here.
No, but what's funny is that the two other teams vying for him are the two other teams that he coached. He coached the Lakers and he coached the Bulls, and now he's stealing this guy. Well, not stealing, because he's on the...
Wait, stop. There's a guy from the game who's waving us off.
Oh, can't do it.
Stop.
Stop.
That's our territory.
Yeah, you shouldn't be talking about Carmelo.
We're wall-to-wall on Carmelo.
Yeah. These halls are filled with Carmelo right now.
Speaking of events we've lost, I believe we've also lost the America's Cup as well, because the lake has unpredictable winds.
Remember I told you they were hoping to get it here? They were going to do a thing? Well, apparently they couldn't count on there being enough winds, so we're out of that now. It's either Bermuda or San Diego for 2017. But we are going to do, apparently, a World Series race in 2016, and then they're going to see if the lake can has enough wind. So then maybe we would get one in the future.
Okay.
But we lost out on that.
Is that a big deal for Chicago?
For the 17 people that...
I mean, as far as bringing people in, I don't know if the hotels are booked to the max when that happens.
It's more of a prestige thing than it would be.
One of the guys that works, I believe, in the news department on the AM is going to be in that Mackinac race. Did I see?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that, too. Is it Roger Badish?
Does he own a boat? Or is he...
Oh, no. It's Dave. Dave Swan.
Yeah, Schwan.
Schwan. Yeah, he's going to be... I hope he's going to be in a boat.
No, I'm sure he's in a boat. Is it his boat?
Diana Nyad? Is he going to be...
Yeah, he's going to swim alongside and have his lips stung.
No, but I assume it's his boat, right?
I don't know. I saw it and I deleted it. I was thinking, okay. Yeah. what am I... Judy Pilak sent it out as some kind
of... In case you wanted to talk to him from the...
Right.
From the boat.
I don't know what I'd ask him.
Here I am. I'm at Cusper's Point.
Enjoy the fudge up there when you get there. Isn't that what they're famous for?
Mackinac, is it?
Mackinac Island, and there are no cars. Isn't that where that is?
Probably.
It's just horse crap and fudge.
I think it is something where you can't get on there by...
Yeah. Do they stay, or they just turn right around and come back? I don't know. I'm not a yachtsman.
Mackinac, as they say.
I guess it's very nice, and there's some hotel up there that has a big porch. Those are the things I know
porches
about.
Porches are nice.
Mackinac. Island.
Yeah, Dave Schwan.
312-521-8600, phone number and text number. Woman finds out on television that the house she's living in was once lived in by a serial killer who tried to get out of her lease. She did not know that up to 20 women were killed in this place she was living. A Missouri woman has finally been able to break her rental lease after learning that her home was used as a torture chamber by a suspected serial killer over a decade ago. This guy hung himself in jail 12 years ago, but now police believe that he killed between 12 and 20 women, many of whom died in the basement of this home in Missouri. Katrina McGraw had no idea about the home's sinister past when she signed the lease in March. She says her landlord, the suspected killer's mother, made no mention of the case or the bodies that her son allegedly kept in the basement. Well, why would you if you're trying to rent a place? Just bake some cookies and hope for the best.
And, of course, you know my son, the mass murderer.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
You know, this is a famous house.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if you're looking for notoriety, you've come to the right place. It was only when a friend called her and told her to watch a documentary on serial killers that she realized that the home was connected to this case. She asked the mother to get her out of the lease, but the mother told her that she had mentioned the lurid backstory before she signed the lease. Initially, the landlord was not willing to let her break her lease, but when we talked with her and eventually the landlord agreed to rescind the case. This is the director of the St. Louis Housing Authority. In this state, there is no duty to disclose. Other states, there are, but mostly that's for selling houses. Yeah, you have to disclose in some states if something, I guess, like this happened.
But not if anybody died just naturally, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, I wonder if, because, like, my mom died in our home.
And
I mean, she died naturally. It wasn't like...
How's that working for you to sell it?
Well,
still vacant, isn't it? I think it's more that the raccoons died in there.
No, in our house. She passed away in the house I live in.
Oh. I don't know. I don't think that's
right. I don't have to say that.
If there's a leaky basement or something, you have to disclose that.
It's not like she's haunting it or anything.
Yeah. Bob, although she should. Why did you do this?
What's going on today, you guys?
You tell me, Bobby.
Well, you know, you definitely don't want Roger Vadish on that boat. He was the one that didn't listen to Skilling for 3 days about that winter storm, and he got stuck on Lakeshore Drive for X amount of hours.
That's right. You don't want him on a sailboat going up, I don't know how many miles that is, but that's a lot.
He almost lost his
boat. He'd end up in the Caribbean if he were to go on that boat.
Yeah, I got my news guys wrong. Dave Schwann.
Schwanny.
Schwann, the guy, man.
Is he the owner of the boat? Do you know anything about this? Not that
no,
it matters.
I can't say that I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I don't.
But boy, yesterday I tell you, you were so happy about your underwear selection, I thought you were going to bust.
Rob, Bob, Robert, if you find 11 pairs of socks and, or was it 18 pairs?
18.
18 pairs of socks, 11 pairs of underwear for $53, and if you're not excited about it, then, sir, I don't know what makes you excited.
I agree with you, Gary, because the way things are these days, you walk out of a store and you spent $100 and you don't know how the heck you spent $100, you know?
It's those little things in life that are worth the joy.
As you get older, you learn that. You know, it's all the simple things in life.
I went to the Gap in Pennsylvania, and there were three pairs of socks in a package, $18. I thought, I'd never pay that. $6 a piece? That's robbery.
Well, they turned you into an underwear monster from that story.
I just like
to pay nothing for underwear now.
I always say this. I'll bet you most billionaires and millionaires are that way, and they don't spend a lot of money, or a lot of people get money from some other people for their stuff or whatever, but I'm sure all of their stories incorporate getting a good buy on underwear and socks.
Well, I usually work for those kind of people, and so I'm driving the cab, and they never give me any tips.
Well, that's not right.
You probably end up working for them in the radio business, too.
I'm a good tipper.
Oh,
I'm a good tipper. I'm talking about good buys.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. No, tip your cab driver well if he's a good guy. How about that?
That's great. You got to pass that message along. Oh, by the way, when I don't know if you knew, well, you knew about the thing that came out with T-Mobile, but when you hit the iHeart app on the phone now, the T-Mobile commercial comes up before it goes to WGN.FM.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, and it stopped doing that now, but for like about a week straight, they were giving like a commercial before it actually go on to the radio station. So
I'm about used to going to different things and having a commercial play before I get to see what I want to see. I don't know how all that works or if it can be avoided, but what is it, 30 seconds, 10 seconds? Usually they're pretty short.
Well, with movies now, you go to a theater and it's like half an hour before you get to your regular movie. It's ridiculous.
And commercials.
Yeah. And I don't care for that at all. It's like shoved down your throat, and in order to see the movie, you have to see it.
Yep. All right, Bob, you have aired your grievances, and it's not even Festivus.
That's right. Absolutely. I'll put my poll away now.
Thank you, Bob. I know I will, too. At 7 o'clock. It stays out until then, though. Yeah. I was talking a number of times about that 7-inch Lincoln doll in the commercials to promote the state of Illinois. And I got this before I went on vacation from Charles. It says 7-inch Abe Lincoln could ride one of the 14-inch Tauntauns at the George Lucas Museum. So if they want to incorporate when we get the museum.
That'd be cool.
In addition to that, somebody emailed me and said they sell those 7-inch Lincolns in the museum gift shop in Springfield.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow, I wonder if you can go online and buy one.
I'm sure you can.
That'd be kind of neat.
Would it be?
Yeah.
You don't have enough junk.
I know, but a cool little Lincoln.
Where is your saturation point as far as junk?
Now, I tell you, I have not. I have been very good. As I said about a year ago, I have been decluttering. And so I really have not bought a lot of stuff. I buy memories now.
You buy memories?
That's what I do. I buy memories, not stuff.
And how do you buy a memory?
I do stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You go on trips and things, yeah, and then you file that away.
Yeah, I buy memories.
Yeah, like
not material.
Last week, you bought the Gettysburg memory.
That's right, and the Washington, D.C.
A spat. A spat.
I saw a spat.
You saw a spat.
Yeah.
You saw where Pickett's charge started.
And I actually saw the coolest thing, which I think I forgot to tell you. They took us to this little house, the Farnsworth house, where they, like the Union or the Confederates took over as a sniper house. Yeah. And up in the attic. And so they had this little case, and they had this thing in the case, and it was a pain bullet. So I said, well, what is a pain bullet? What's a pain bullet? Well, they showed us, like, what the bullets of the muskets or whatever, the rifles.
Those round balls.
Yeah, these kind of things. Well, the pain bullet was the bullet they literally bit down on.
When they were cutting their legs off.
And so now he showed us the bullet in our hands and said, hold this. This is the bullet. And here's how thick it is, and here's how heavy it is. And then he shows us the pain bullet of which somebody bit down on. It was flat. So this guy was in so much pain that he flattened the bullet by biting down. That's how much pain. All they used was chloroform to knock them out. And sometimes they didn't get knocked out.
I can't even imagine.
Oh.
Because I know when I cut my finger, I cry like a little baby.
That's what I mean. The pain
bullet. Let alone
my
leg being cut off.
They called it a pain bullet, and it was flat. And the guy literally, and you could see the teeth marks in it. So this wasn't BS that they hit it with a hammer or something.
We all know they didn't have much of anything back then.
I can't even imagine.
Okay, and then they get the leg off, and maybe the pain stops in about 3 months. Now you have a peg that... You got to figure that's going to be infected.
Oh, well, they said half the guys died of infection.
Yeah.
Not from the wound. They survived the amputations. They didn't survive the infection because I told you yesterday, the guy who was cutting off the leg didn't wipe off the saw.
Just under his arm.
Yeah, he just used it under his arms, just wiped it off, and then go on to the next leg. So now any kind of disease or germs that the other guy had, now you've got them. Unbelievable. And that was only 100 years ago. 150 years
ago. 150 years ago. I know. And some people, well, that's a long time ago.
No.
Not in the scheme of history.
No, not at all.
If you have lived the majority of your life after 1950 in this country, you've won the lottery for the most part. No matter how bad things get, and I know it's all relative, I get it. But when you look at some of these other countries and how people are living still in the 21st century.
And to your point about buying stuff, I have to say, a lot of people now around my age who have become collectors of, say, Elton stuff especially, well, now they're all starting to sell their stuff on eBay because, I mean, you're 50 years old, and what am I going to do with these things, right? These little tchotchkes, I mean, belt buckles and, you know, all this goofiness, which I have.
Yeah, and you mock other people for having.
But so now a lot of people are selling a lot of this stuff, and some of the stuff I don't have, but I have not bought it. I have said no.
And what is the dream piece that's out there for you?
Well, there is a dream piece. I mean, he's wearing this coat that he's been wearing on the last tour, which I really would like to have. But I'm talking about the schlocky stuff, like the little stuff that 5 years ago, if people were selling their collections, without a doubt, I would have bought a lot of this stuff. And now I'm like, no.
No, I have memories. I'm buying memories. And if you buy this coat, you get another mannequin.
You have to get another mannequin.
And then that sits in a room.
Yeah, but it's so cool.
Oh, sure it is.
It's got the Captain Fantastic logo out on the back. It's so cool.
Yeah. And that would be, what, $8,000?
But, like, we went on vacation, and my mother-in-law went with us, and she sort of wanted to stop in all the little shops. And so she bought, you know, a book or something and all this, and she said, geez, you guys don't buy any souvenirs? It's like, don't need them.
Mm-mm.
Buying memories.
Storing up my memories.
Storing the memories, my man. So that's it.
Much cheaper and no clutter.
But the little Lincoln thing, I mean, sometimes you got to break your rule.
What are you going to do with that?
I don't know. I mean, that's true.
You get it? You put it on a shelf, and then little Lincoln sits there. So what?
Yeah, I mean, there was a time, though, I certainly would have bought the little Lincoln without even thinking twice. Because, well, you do that. You have a lot of little tchotchkes. Look at your office.
Well, those tchotchkes that
I mean, come
have,
on.
The most current one is probably 10, 20
well,
years.
That's where you go.
And the office is a perfect place to dump that stuff.
Yeah.
Because at home, there's no room. And where does it fit in? All my little airplanes and things. Where am I going to put that? On the dining room table? When my wife met me, I had Army soldiers in the cabinets instead of cereal. I mean, what am I going to do with this stuff?
It is funny how you get to a point where all of a sudden you go, you know what? It's kind of cool, but I don't need it. You know, and you don't.
No. You just collect. And it looks nice on the desk. I think when people come in, oh, look at that. But beyond that, as I'm unpacking these boxes, and I didn't think, again, I had that much stuff in the office.
Right.
You open the drawers.
And you
there must have been 15 boxes full of stuff, and my office wasn't that big.
It looked like Sanford and Son. It was all it was just like.
So I'm pulling the stuff out and going, what? And I'm thinking, okay, do I need this stuff? And I got rid of some stuff. But when this is over, when I disassemble this office, I think there's going to be a lot of, you can have this.
Yeah. And isn't it liberating when you throw stuff out? Oh,
yeah.
Does it feel good?
And you don't, a week later, you don't remember you had it.
Exactly. And even though there's been a lot of times because I'm going through a lot of these bins, I still got a lot of the stuff that my mom, because she kept a lot of stuff and she bought a lot of these things, and I've been getting rid of her stuff slowly that I thought might have some value of the stuff I kept. But even that, I'm like, you know what? Okay, so maybe this is worth $100, but maybe it isn't. And I have to go through all these hoops to find somebody.
$100.
Yeah, who's going to buy it and all this. You know what? Nah. If I put it out on the street and somebody gets it and they got $100 for it, good for you.
Nothing like getting a whole bag of clothes and stuff and taking it to the Salvation Army. And
really, it is. It's
figuring that somebody's going to enjoy this, and usually it shows up in one of these war-torn countries, and you see these guys running down the street with a Bulls jersey on.
Disco demolition.
Exactly. Shooting tear gas at the presidential palace.
Or it says Cubs World Series winner.
Yeah.
Those t-shirts that they never got to sell.
And that's how it usually goes.
But you know what? I am going to even go online just to take a look to see how much Little Lincoln costs. It might be fun.
The Little Lincoln. How much could it cost?
$10?
$10. Dave.
Whoa.
Well, they're selling
it's them. Dave, Master Sculptor. Dave Novotny.
Gary, what's happening,
How
buddy?
You doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm calling to ask you if you're going to have room now in that new office for some of the stuff that you're going to be getting. You keep on getting changed.
Well, I have to get that metal cross back on the wall. I have a spot for the metal cross you made, the crucifix.
Sure.
I do have a nice spot for that, so I got to get that put up. And I got to put some stuff in Craig's little cubby hole. I got some space there. Are you going to give me some? You said to Craig before the vacation that you're going to make some of the crucifixes, but miniature?
I'm going to make them about half size of what you have, and I'm going to give you about 10 of them so you can give them away.
Great. Thank you.
Jesus will go, whoa.
Whoa. These are, I mean, I don't know what your religion is, but everybody that's walked by that's seen that crucifix, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, my friend Dave made it.
Yeah, I have a 4 foot a 4 foot one hanging on my wall outside my shop.
4 foot?
Yeah, it's out in the back side where you walk into his door. Yeah,
that's
huge.
Serious.
Yeah, I put it out there because the bus company moved in across the street, and I figured somebody on there would complain about that cross hanging on my wall, so I'd get some advertisement, but that never happened.
Okay. And if you want to see Dave's stuff, his website, CustomSteelArt.com.
You bet. Hey, here, listen, I was also calling. You were talking about the fireworks in Chicago.
Yeah.
If Jim remembers, Kittyland used to put on a better fireworks display than Chicago did.
That's true.
And Melrose.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah.
I had never been there for their fireworks, but they did a big display, huh?
Well, we did a 30-minute display every year.
In Kittyland.
Kittyland.
That's pretty sad when Melrose Park is better than Chicago.
Oh, you bet. You bet. When Melrose Park, on Labor Day weekend, when Melrose Park has the taste of Melrose Park, they put on a better fireworks display than Chicago does.
I don't know what happened to our city. It lost its direction, and we better get it back pretty fast because they say we're about 5 steps away from Detroit.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Gary, also I wanted to bring up another two little Kittyland incident. Do you remember back in the late 90s when Kittyland was in the news for the diving mule? You remember that?
Yes. They had a mule that went off a diving board into a swimming pool.
Not only was it a mule that went off a diving board in a swimming pool, but it also had a monkey buddy that would jump with it.
And how long before that was shut down?
How did this place close?
Listen, if you remember, Gear, they had that, and then PETA came out and protested that.
Sure.
Kittyland went to court on that, And nobody got to see that mule and that monkey dive off that diving board except for me. I'm sitting on one of the planters eating lunch. All of a sudden, this mule and this monkey run up this ladder about two stories high and jump off the diving board into the pool.
How deep was the pool, Dave?
And I'm sitting there, Gary, I'm sitting there with a sandwich in one hand, my mouth wide open, and I'm like, what do you do? I mean, it just ran up there and it jumped. I don't know, the pool had to be about 7 feet, 8 feet deep.
How did they get the donkey and the monkey up there?
Love of the game.
They
showman.
Gary, the monkey jumped on the mule. There was nobody with it, and it ran up the stairs and it jumped with the monkey on its back.
So the monkey jumps off with the mule, and here's Dave with the sandwich, and the thing lands. Nice ice. Wow,
gives them an eight.
Yeah.
Well, wait, so they put those two out of work? What did they? They had no other skills,
yeah,
right?
Now what do they do?
They're on the dole.
So I brought that up because I figured Jim would remember that.
I remember the story.
So
yeah, I remember the story,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I never
yeah.
saw it.
Yeah, it was funny.
Which adds.
Remember us? Also, remember, Gary, you guys were making fun of. Remember the article that was in the news that you guys did about Russell that used to drive the train?
I don't remember
you
what
remember?
Happened.
You remember that? You and one of your old partners did an article on him and made some jokes about him driving around the train, you know, circling the park over and over and over and over again.
What was the angle of our jesting?
I don't know. I had that article somewhere. I'll have to look it up and give Jim a copy to give to you. But
just because he drove the train around the room?
Yeah, it was. You were joking about it because he was retiring, and that was one of your stories you were focusing on.
That doesn't sound like us. I'll be honest.
Yeah. No.
Oh God, Kitty Lang, all those great stories that you couldn't make up. You're sitting there having a sandwich. Here's this donkey and a monkey jumping in a pool.
Well, at my high school, they used to have donkey basketball.
Right. Donkey basketball. And
donkey
I think
basketball.
That was criticized because they said the donkeys would slip on the floor.
Can't
believe they put a mat down because they wouldn't
really
go on the hardwood.
No, they weren't on the hardwood floor, but they used to have donkey basketball. They had that for like 2 or 3 years, and then they stopped it in the mid-'80s. But, yeah.
Wow.
We got to get these animals out and doing stuff again.
There you go.
Great stories, Dave. Thanks for reminding me.
All right, Gary.
All right. And are you going to be at any craft shows or anything where people can see your stuff?
I will be in LaGrange this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, look for Dave Novotny's stuff. It's incredible.
Downtown LaGrange.
All right, Dave, thank you.
I will talk to you soon.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
CustomSteelArt.com. Dave is the guy who provides all those great Indian head sculptures that I've given away over the years.
I've seen his display at some of the craft shows.
Oh, yeah?
It's beautiful.
Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Bibble's been to the factory, and it's hard to believe this is one guy just cranking this stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because it's pretty elaborate stuff.
And when I go there to pick up these heads and stuff, I mean, he's got all these different pieces hanging in different, different stages of being built. So there's... like a head over there, or like let's say the hawk head.
And the legs over there, the arms over there.
You don't understand. Your money isn't here.
Tell me what you think of this idea. Well, Leslie, do your stuff because I know you're on a time crunch, and then we'll talk. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Scott Stantos will be in to look at the captions you provided for the cartoon.
Leslie didn't read that after the governor signed that law in our studio, then he downed some cinnamon.
That's what he does, a spoonful
of
cinnamon.
He does the challenge every time. Yeah.
Every time he
makes
comes.
The law go down. Of all the things that are going on in the state, I like when these politicians have time to stop by and jawbone with the local DJ. Really.
And pass out some pens, apparently.
Don't
they always pass
you
out
get a
pens?
Pen. You get a pen.
I don't really, and maybe this is a weakness in my repertoire, I don't really want any politicians on because it's all talking points, and you're never going to get any real good stuff out of them. And they should be working on something else instead of stopping by the studio. But some of these guys, they'd love to hang with the gov.
Oh, sure. Well, he's eating cinnamon. He's wacky.
He did that with Brandmeier, right?
Yeah, he's the wacky governor.
Yeah. And when he did that, I happened to be listening that day. I thought, that's all you have to do? And all that's happening with this state? As far as the captions go for Scott Stantis, kind of a light load this week, and I'm not surprised because the cartoon was very
it's vague.
Off.
Yeah.
And I think the captions by the number agree.
And most of them just say, bring back Gary Meyer.
It's kind of weird when you have to do a Wikipedia search, though, to figure out who's involved in the cartoon.
I'll quiz Mr. Stantis when he comes
in. You have
to
grill him on this one. This one is very...
Well, okay, here's one to your comment there. According to Gary Meyer, all you have to do is get inducted into the Hall of Fame, and then you're really untouchable.
I told you.
All right, well, you're working it.
BBGM.
So I was thinking, talking to Dave Novotny, having him make, I don't know, a head of me or something, and then I would go and try to install it in the Walk of Fame outside the Tribune Tower. Because I know they're not going to put it in on their own. Because if you don't toot your own horn, you're not going to get tooted.
Well, yeah, you could actually, because there are some blocks on Pioneer Court, maybe you'd have Dave, like, somehow affix it to the ground.
See how long that lasts.
Yeah.
Just do it on my own.
Yeah,
it'd be a great video just to see what would happen. And then after that, if they don't accept it, then take it out to my high school and see if they'll put it on the Wall of Fame. They have, in the entrance, I was there visiting a friend who teaches there about a year ago, and in the entrance they have about four or five pictures of, I guess, so-called famous graduates from Tinley Park High School.
Had you heard of any of them?
No. Not a one. Not that that means anything or everything, but I thought, okay, I'm not saying that I'm the greatest thing that came out of there, but if you're talking about, if this is the standard.
Exactly.
Then I'll go out there and just knock on the door and see if they'll put this up.
Oh, how funny would that
be? Just for the snicks of it. Even if it's rejected, that's even better because you get the video.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, so maybe I'll have Dave do that. We'll play with it.
And then even the better part would be then, you knock on their door. They're probably embarrassed because they take it then. And then you wait the next day and you go out to the dumpster.
Yeah, there it is.
And you find it in the dumpster.
Or they recycle it.
Yeah.
Okay. I got the video, though. Let's see if Dave can do that.
So I haven't really seen that Walk of Fame yet. Is it right by your office? Like, where is it?
I don't know.
It's not in the front, right?
It's on the side of
the
Tribune Tower, but I haven't been up close to it, no.
How about today in your new office? As you said, your the giant window
looks
the Pioneer Court right next to the restaurant. And so while we're sitting there and talking, all of a sudden about eight wide butts stand in front of your window to take a picture. So they're all facing. They must not know.
Well, here, before you go any further, there's a scrim in my window that advertises Howells and Hood, the restaurant down there.
Right.
And you cannot see in my office through that scrim during the day.
Right. It looks very dark.
Yeah. You can't see in. So I've seen people, I've only been there 2 days, and a lot of people go there to smoke because they can't smoke in the restaurant. So they gather by that window. That's the closest spot outside the door. So you see a lot of people, you're right, that are oblivious to the fact that I can see them, and they're taking pictures, and they're smoking. And
so they were all happy because they were taking a picture probably in front of this banner that says Howells and Hood. So they go
the architects of the Tribune Tower, the name.
So they could show their friends where they ate lunch, but there was about eight wide guys and just had a few of their butts. And it was like,
now,
wow.
I put stuff, there's a vent that's about 2 feet high and about 2 feet deep there by the window.
That is not open, right?
What's that?
Is it closed? Is it a real vent?
Not, well, it's some kind of, it covers it, some kind of heating or cooling unit.
But it doesn't
and
seem
it's pretty
to
much
work.
Sealed, no. Right. But it's useless space for the most part. Yeah. That's why yesterday the salesman guy said, why don't you put your couch up there?
I still
How do you get up there?
They built you a stair.
Then your legs are dangling. And you go, nah, look, that
like
would look.
Well, you get your shoes shined.
Right, then I'll have a guy come in and shine shoes.
How cool would that be? To Gary's office.
While you're meeting with me, you can have your shoes shine.
Spit shine or the regular?
And as they're meeting, they're getting their shoes nice and shiny. So that didn't seem to be the way to go. So I'm putting stuff up there to try to at least block the view. Because when the days get shorter and the lights are on, you'll be able to see right in there. And if I'm doing V-Boy or something.
You can see in there?
At night when the lights are on, yes, because I tested it out. Craig's wife was here last night, and I said, hey, would you mind going and seeing if you can see me in here? And she went around, And I'm waving to her, and she's waving right back.
Wow, with the your light on.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to be in, well, but at fourth, but when you come
back
after
the show.
Yeah, as the
days get shorter, right.
I mean, now it's fine. After 7, it's not dark yet, but.
Anyway, I'm trying to figure out how to cover that a little
bit. It's still a work in progress.
It is. So right now on that shelf, I have a telescope. I've got an inflatable raft. I've got a model airplane. All leaning up against the window.
Now, what kind of ceiling? I didn't notice. Could you hang up the plane this
way? I think I might hang it in that window. Because there is it goes way up to the top of that window. Dave is back.
Jim, do you remember that metal sculpture, that 8-foot sculpture that's in my shop? One of my students had started to make that.
Which one? Like
that
ghost or that?
That big metal one that's sitting, that athletic one that's doing an athletic stand that's upside down on one arm.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We can put Gary's space on that.
So
and we can mount that in Pioneer Court.
I don't think they're going to mount it.
Well, I know they're not going to mount it, but I just for the fun of it, to get a video of trying to get this put there as they kick me out, and then I'll take it to my old high school. As opposed to my new high school, and see if they'll take it.
Gary, this is a full-size metal sculpture of a guy on one arm upside down. And it weighs about 250 pounds.
Great. I'll be able to lug that around. I'm just talking about
just make the head.
Just my face, and then I can kind of play with that a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah. We can have some fun with that.
Sure. I'll make it out of stainless, so you don't have to worry about it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks,
we'll
Dave.
Talk to you.
All right.
Make it out of stainless.
Out of stainless. Sure. So you'll never rust. 312-521-8600. Why does a stream go to dead air all of a sudden? Are you buffering? Is that the buffering?
It's a buffer.
That doesn't happen on all devices, right? It's just
no. It depends on the actual on whatever service they're using.
Listen to this. If you were on the Walk of Fame, imagine all the flowers, balloons, and white crosses that would be placed on your name.
You'd have your own little street side memorial.
And candles.
That's true.
Yeah, all right. Well, some fun stuff with a tribute, a little poster board and stuff. We miss you.
BBGM.
And then people's nicknames. Yeah, they have their nicknames under their little passage.
Members of the Gear Force.
I've got some music that I brought in today.
Oh, yeah?
Got my CDs. As I was going through to get everything back in order, I have about 100 CDs in my desk, and I thought, okay, let me look, see what I got here. And I don't know if you're a Paul Butterfield fan, but in high school, I was in a band, and we played a lot of Paul Butterfield, and I came to really enjoy his music. Bibble, if you could play, let's see, I think it's cut number 9. I'd appreciate it. 312-521-8600. That is the text number and the phone number. And I believe I'll talk to... Is Jane up for a phone call before I go to music? Because I'm going to play some music here. It's Kreeth, the double producer combo, who have to dial. One guy answers the phone, and then he hands it to the other guy, and then they decide by committee if that call should go on. That's Kreeth, the new producing team. They have to do it by committee now. Paul Butterfield Blues Band from the resurrection of Pig Boy Crabshaw and One More Heartache. 312-521-8600. Jane.
Gary.
What up?
I love that you guys are on the FM. I listen to you all the time, man.
On the Dot FM, baby.
On the Dot FM. Hey, I wanted to know, curiosity, are you guys doing better than the afternoon AM show is?
Well, that would be.
As far as ratings?
Jane, that would be petty and looking for trouble. And why would I want to do that?
Because you're awesome.
The show is doing very well on the internet, and I don't pay any attention to anything else.
Okay. Well, it's great. I listen to you guys every day, and I love that you're on the .fm because now I can take you with me everywhere I go. It's great.
I'm glad to hear that, Jane. Thank you. Okay. Speaking of the internet in cars, and it's coming, and the 15 models on certain manufacturers will have internet access, Wi-Fi, whatever. Certain car companies with the 15 model, which is 3 months away, that's right. When they come out. Tesla already has that hookup, I believe. A friend of mine just bought a Tesla, and tomorrow night I'm going to take a ride with him.
Really?
And he's going to show me what it is.
Oh, cool.
So that should be.
So he's got it.
He's got it.
So they. This is not a pipe dream anymore.
Now, this is the Tesla, which was, what, $100,000 car.
Yeah, $125,000.
But they say they are going to have this capability in cars that are affordable in the next year or two. Audi, I believe, has a model that's going to be around $26,000.
That's a normal.
Chevy is adding something to the 15 models that will make the capability even easier.
Well, when I went to look at cars a couple of years ago, they didn't even tell me anything about how the car ran. It was all about the cool stuff inside the car and how I could check my Facebook page.
Yes.
And it'll talk to me.
Yes.
And read my Facebook messages to me. And I said, well, what about the miles per gallon?
What about it?
Yeah, whatever.
25 highway.
Yeah, but look at how cool this is. I mean, so that's how they're selling cars now.
That is the competitive edge.
Those are
the extras that people want, and they're getting them in all these cars.
Yeah, it's not about the car stuff anymore.
Well, think about it.
It's secondary.
Isn't GPS pretty much standard in all cars?
I guess, yeah. I don't have it. I have to.
Okay. Call me a liar.
It would have been an extra. No, but I mean, it would have been an extra. It wouldn't have been standard.
You don't have GPS in the car.
No.
You lease.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a new car. I could have got it, but it would have been an extra charge.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it seems that it's standard in
a lot of
cars.
Yeah, no, I would have thought because I do have that screen that has a lot of other stuff on it, but that would have been extra.
Okay, but it's there.
I could get it.
Yeah.
Certainly, I could get it.
Satellite radio is standard in just about every car.
Yeah, I have that.
You don't have to subscribe to it, but it's there.
Right.
And that's how it all starts.
And I also have a prompt on my radio for Pandora. So if I had a smartphone and I had Pandora on it, I would just plug my cell phone in and my Pandora would flow through that. And I have an iPod connection with a USB port, so I have my iPod in the car and play my iPod, you know. So
there was a time, I can't even give you the exact time, let's say it's 30 years ago, when the cassette player was the standard piece in a car. And they had 8-tracks still in some of these cars. There was some device you could buy to put your cassette
in. It was the adapter.
In an adapter. You could put it into your 8-track.
Without a doubt.
And it would play your cassette. And you thought, wow.
That was the coolest thing on earth.
When I got my Nova in the early 70s, it was only AM. So I bought an FM tuner that was in the glove box. So I had to reach over and turn the FM in the glove box. This sounds like a million years ago.
I had to go, when I bought my first car, which was a used car, it was a Granada, and the radio did not have, as this time, this is early 80s, it didn't have a cassette player. So then I had to go, remember, I mean, I don't even know, do they still have, like, audio, like, stores, like, remember Pacific Stereo,
yeah,
where you could buy a radio for your car, and then I don't even see those anymore.
Probably
but
not.
But there used to be a
if
ton of them.
Are out there, there are a few.
But I had to go to this store, and then they went, and I had to pick the radio, and then they installed it in the dashboard.
Yes.
It never fit because it wasn't right.
Looked like crap.
Yeah,
you were hooked up.
But I had to play my cassettes, you know, and then all of a sudden the CD player came in. The first CD player I had, it was in my trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought a car 15 years ago. We still have it. Cassette player on the dash.
Right.
And the CD container is in the back.
In the trunk, right?
You can put six in there, but you got to go in the back.
And it's a big box, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And that's 15 years ago.
And the big thing was, too, because you had that in the back, in your trunk, and then by your gear shift, they gave you the little thing that did work it. So there had to have been a wire that went from there, because that's how you worked it. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, you could call up the discs from the dash.
Yeah.
Not going to stop. Go, okay, now I got to push this and get back in the car.
But even to show how CDs are gone, usually over the last 10 years, every car came with a CD player that would handle at least 5 or 6 CDs. You could feed them in, and they would be in there. Now, they only hold one. It's almost like
they're phasing that
out. They're like, okay, we'll give you one, but no one's going to use it.
No.
Yeah, because I asked the guy, because I had the other car I had held 6, so I had these 6 CDs, so I'm going to load them into the new car, and I load the first one in, and then I push the second one, and it's not going in. I go, there's something wrong with the CD player. He goes, what do you mean? He says, there's a CD in there. I said, yeah, but I got these 5 other ones. He goes, oh, no, it only holds one. I was like, oh,
shoving 5 in the one slot.
Yeah, well.
I remember when John Lennon in the 60s bought that Rolls Royce that he had painted in psychedelic colors.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He had a record player in the back seat. And I'm thinking, how in the hell did you listen to a 12-inch piece of vinyl when you're driving?
How did it not skip?
But it was in there. I remember reading, like, he probably thought, I am living large. Look at me. I got a record player in the back of my car.
I mean, at least have a reel-to-reel at that time.
I mentioned that, and then I look at this, and here's Mike, and it says, car with record player. Are you kidding me? You and John Lennon?
I am not kidding you. My first car was a 1959 Studebaker Lark 6 Pink station wagon, which I paid $30 for, and it had a factory-installed record player inside.
How do you work that? How does it not skip?
Well, that's the other part of the story. Every time I put a record in, it would only play for about 3 seconds before it started jumping and skipping. But the fact is that it had it in there, and that at 16 years old, I was driving a pink station wagon, which, of course, in today's world, you know where that would probably place my,
yes,
you know, where I would be. But I had that car, and I paid $30 for it, and it burned up at Jack's Texaco in New Lenox, Illinois.
Where was the record player in the car?
Right dead center between the seats, and it was huge because it had a radio in it that had tubes. You actually had to wait for it to warm up before the radio would even play. And so it was, you know, but I didn't care. It was a car.
Right.
I really didn't care. And it was, but, you know, you had to wait for the radio to warm up, and if you wanted to stick a record in there, you could play a record. But I don't recall ever playing a single record and having it make it through the whole song while I was moving.
Only you and John Lennon that I know of had the record player in the car, and I could never figure out how that would work, and apparently it didn't. Maybe Lennon's was a little more sophisticated. But still, what could you do to make that work when you're going down the highway?
I have no idea, and I didn't care. My car moved, and it rolled down the road, and that was really all. But I thought it was cool, and everybody that got in the car thought it was really cool when they got inside the car. And other than that, the car was one of the ugliest cars ever made, which is probably why Studebaker is no longer with us.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
312-521-8600.
That was an idea that sounded cool but didn't have...
Well, I can't imagine how it would work.
Especially on our roads.
Best Buy installs audio systems with Bluetooth. You were talking about where you can go and...
Right, but I just was saying, remember, there used to be actually small little stores that you would just buy.
Best Buy, and now it's 4 or 5 years ago, and had new speakers installed. Mine were blown.
And where did you go?
There was a Best Buy in
Chicago. Oh, so it was a
Best Buy,
right? Yeah, okay.
And they did speakers.
Yeah. I just remember there was a place near the good old place I always mentioned, the Harlem and Irving Plaza, the hip. And there was this place that was this little shack, and you walked in there, and it had all the speakers and all the radios and the 8 tracks that you could install in your car, and they did the installation. And you don't see those places anymore now.
Sam.
I am.
Yes, you are.
How are you, Gary?
Good.
Love listening to you.
Thank you.
You know, I was just reminiscing. You can't buy a car with a crank window in it anymore.
I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know why, as I was rolling the window up, I was thinking, because up until not too long ago, you could still get the crank window.
Yeah, maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Is it that long ago? I thought it was 5, but probably is 10 years ago. But you cannot, there is no crank window to be had.
None whatsoever. It's less expensive now to make the electronics in China and just have an electronic, where back when, you know, I was a kid, that was high society to have the electronic window.
There is more electronic stuff going on in greeting cards than we had 30 years ago in our home. A greeting card has more stuff going on. Really, you open these cards, they sing, they dance. It's a chip.
And then it all ends up in the trash.
Well, yeah, but still, for those 3 minutes, that's pretty fun.
Well, just thanks, Gary. Appreciate
thanks,
your show and love listening to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, there's no more knobs on the door. Remember the little knob that used to pop up?
All right.
That knob's gone.
No knobs.
No knobs.
That's how they sell them. No knobs.
Knobless.
Or knob-free.
No, but you can't. If you couldn't use a hanger now to get in your car. Because that was the whole
thing.
That's
how you did it. That's how the thieves did it, too.
Yeah. Now you get the little Slim Jim. He goes 2 seconds.
If you're a cop, yeah.
But you know what? The funny thing is that hanger worked.
Yeah, it took you about 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, because you had to somehow.
And of course, you'd ruin the rubber that sealed the window.
But it did work.
All right, well, to lock your keys out these days, it's pretty
hard.
Foolproof as far as that goes.
With the fob and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of these cars, I think yours is. Where
mine, yeah.
You push a button.
Yeah, I don't even start it.
The fob stays in your pocket for the most part just to lock it.
And my car won't start if the key isn't, like, around there.
So right.
This way, if someone broke in, they don't have the fob, it won't start.
No fob, no knob.
No knobs, no fobs.
Now a 12-year-old hacker can steal your car, though.
Instead of, like, some ne'er-do-well.
A littler ne'er-do-well with computer skills.
With no facial hair.
It says here on this text, my dad has a 3-year-old Yaris, and it has crank windows. Who makes the Yaris?
A Toyota.
Oh, really?
They do?
It's a teeny Toyota. It's a very minimalist Toyota.
Well, crank windows.
Crank
windows.
3 years old. Yeah, it's minimal.
Wow.
And Eric is on, 312-521-8600. Eric?
Hey, good afternoon, Gary.
Hello.
Wanted to talk about car stereos.
Yes.
They've got the new stereos out now. I mean, not only can you go to Best Buy, but like out here in Rockford, I've got a guy west over here in Freeport. He's got a company called Soundworks, and he installs stereos and that. But what's really cool is the stereos that have come out today. Yeah, it's sad you can't put in like 6 CDs, but they've got other features on them. They've got a USB port on them now, so you can take one of those jump drives, load it with all your MP3 music, like 600 songs or plus, put that in your stereo and your stereo play them, as well as be able to hook up your iPod and all that. See, now how I'm listening to your show, I'm listening to you guys on the TuneIn app, okay? And on TuneIn, I've got a headphone jack on my phone, and also my stereo has an auxiliary jack. So I've got one of those Walkman-style type cables, and I've got it plugged into my stereo. So I'm not listening to you through my phone. I'm listening to you actually through the car stereo at that point.
Nice.
And you guys sound awesome. I mean,
Thank you.
Really great. Sounds like you're in a vehicle with me. You're riding along.
That's good. That's better than that AM crackle, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? I like the fact there's no interruption of Cubs games. You're allowed to do what you want to do. I love your new format. And like I said, you're so clear coming through the phone into the car stereo. It sounds like you're riding along with me, so I really enjoy the show more.
Thank you. The funny part is, since I went to the Internet 5-6 weeks ago, there have been, I kind of half paid attention to this, I think I would have been on all of 4 hours because there have been a lot of East Coast Cubs games. And 3 o'clock starts, and I would be on barely at all in the last 6 weeks anyway.
Yesterday was a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been.
And just, 5 o'clock, hang on.
Spartans! What is your profession?
So it all worked out. For the better, I guess, right?
Right. Now, see, this stereo I happen to have in here, too, if I'm listening to music, it's got HD radio in it. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. I mean, you got your main station, transmitting your regular programming. And then they got HD2 and HD3, which could be jazz, commercial free in that. That's what I'm hoping WGN does. If they were talking, I've been reading through some of the stuff on the Internet. WGN is looking for an FM station.
Right.
And if they've got that, not only would they have you on it, but they could have HD2, HD3, and have all their other programming on it as well.
And that would
it would sound awesome.
That would be the only reason for that HD format that I can see. When it came in years ago, I could never figure out what the point was. It cost initially, they started, I think, about $500 for one of those, and they didn't sell.
Yeah.
So now I think you can get one for $20. But I couldn't figure out the game plan. because they were telling you these side channels, like you mentioned, are commercial free. But the main channel is the one that has to support that. And if you tell them to go to that, well, who's going to listen to the main channel? The mothership has to support these other things. It didn't have a good business plan. But you're right, on this. In this case, this is where it might come in and have some currency.
Right. You know, they get you on there. I mean, you sound fantastic in digital. I mean, you basically are digital right now. Like I said, it sounds great in here, just coming through the auxiliary input, you know. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're sitting in the vehicle talking to me.
Yeah, the quality I hear is really good, and I'm glad for that. And like I said, I wouldn't have been on that much at all in the last 5-6 weeks because of this Cubs schedule. Now, next year, no Cubs on the AM. That would have been full-time, all the time. And I have to say, when I got used to the fact that from April through September, I get those afternoons off in the summer, there's nothing to argue about there. Money was the same. You're off at 5:30 on a sunny Tuesday or Wednesday. Nothing wrong with that. But this is it, and it's 3 to 7 every day now.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I absolutely love it, Gary. Keep on keeping on, as they say.
Thank you, Eric. Bye.
Take care, bud.
By the way, this is show 26.
Show 26.
Not 28.
All right. 26. Show 26. Little Scotty Stantis is in the studio, and he's the cartoon boy for the Chicago Tribune. And I kind of figured when I saw the cartoon this week that the response would be lighter than normal. Now, I don't know what your response was.
You want his intro before we start?
Lighter than normal.
Okay, let's get an intro.
Yeah. What's your caption? What's your caption? Look at the picture. Think of something.
Try and make it funny. Then tell us. What's your caption? I think I can read every caption today and still have time to chat.
Yeah, you know.
You hit a clunker, didn't you?
I hit a clunker. You know, they can't all be out of the park. You know, Babe Ruth struck out once in a while.
Well, he had a response already.
We had to tell it to his bosses.
Sure.
No, I tried. Okay, here's. You want the background, and it's short. I'm rereading some Chicago history books, so the caption contest this week is Mayor William Ogden and Buckner Morris, who are the first two mayors.
I was kind of familiar with Ogden because of the street. Yes. I remembered he was a mayor.
You can't remember.
But not Buckner Morris.
Buckner Morris is a great Chicagoan.
Why did you include him?
Because he was the second mayor.
He was the second mayor. Who was the first mayor of Chicago?
It was Ogden.
Was it Ogden?
It was.
So it was, okay, so one, two. Now I'm getting the lesson here. That's why the portraits are
exactly
right
and
next
so,
to each
and
other.
So Rahm is walking by them, and Ogden is saying something snarky to Morris, who's rolling his eyes. But no one knows who's, including my wife.
Oh, so the pictures are talking?
Yes.
Did you even know that?
Do you have a copy? I don't even have a copy right now. I have to look at it again.
Yeah, that was very obtuse.
Let me look at it again.
It was very obtuse.
it was intellectual.
Well,
there's a difference.
Okay.
It was obtuse.
It's history. It's the history of this great city.
I think you're so confident in the fact that people would recognize the back of Rahm's head.
Yes.
That you could go with that, because it's the back of his head, and the way you draw him is like Bart Simpson, and it's either Bart Simpson or Mayor Emanuel.
Well, the you know, half a dozen people who entered the contest this week got it, and that's
right.
Good, you know.
Hey, it's summer. It's for the diehards.
That is what my very wife, your lip balm mule.
Watch it. Wow.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, watch it.
That's why Gary's lips are
he
kissably
came
soft.
In one day with this lip balm. And I like lemon, and it was a lemon-flavored lip balm, and I go, where'd you get that? And then the next week he came in, his wife went out and got me a tube.
Yeah. And
so
she's,
I appreciate that.
And so ever since, it's been quid pro quo.
So I got...
Now I'm speaking Latin.
Still not going to help your bad drawing.
It's a great drawing. It's a bad idea. It's not a common idea.
Do you want to start with a rave out against the newspaper industry, or is that off?
Do we have to start that again?
No, we
my
don't.
Wife
but
is my wife again. God bless her. Is tells me, Scott, you got to stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to hopefully stay on the
payroll.
Yeah, in the next month, because they're going to start their
August 4th is
division
when
from the company.
It's when the divorce is final. I'm going to miss you guys.
Any pink slip that happened out there?
Not that we're aware of. Not that we've heard of. Those kind of things. Friends, weird stuff. Like, I happened to be here on the weekend, and our security guards were gathered together and very angry about something, not security measured, but security, because that's not what they do.
Here we go. It starts.
There we go. Bitterness.
The bitterness.
Now
no, but they were bitter
people.
Because they've taken away their parking privileges. These guys who make roughly a little over minimum wage to take a bullet for us. And
how many are in the building at any one time, or is that a classified
thing? I guess
thing?
I didn't ask. It would have been a wise question to ask. I don't know.
So
it's
they
at
have
least...
to pay for their own parking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
longer...
they got rid of these other security people a few years ago that were here forever.
Oh, yeah.
Because they outsourced, I believe, the security.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was cheaper.
Yeah. So these guys are supposed to take a bullet for us.
They have a parking lot in back of the Tribune Tower. I don't know how many spaces are in there. But because people are constantly going in and out, I would think.
There's always spaces.
Right?
Yeah,
there's
always spaces. So it seemed unfair. And these guys, like I said, I mean, the expectation of how they do their job, what their job entails, you'd think, okay, give them a little something. No.
Yeah, that parking thing is a nice perk when you're working downtown.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think around here the minimum is what, 250?
Easily.
Yeah, we had our car here for a short period of time, and we were paying $225 a month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that, when you're making, as you said, a little over minimum wage, suddenly that starts to take a chunk.
Well,
so then you added into the ranting. Let me tell you about my ranting.
So do you get to park here? Do you have a parking space?
Yes. Well, come on. It's a something.
Okay, yeah, okay. You're Gary friggin' Myers. That's when you get a parking space. I'm just a bitter, bitter cartoonist.
They use the space. They can use it. Yeah. Chill. Because of the hours, they can kind of overlap that space where two people can use it in a day.
Oh, okay, yeah,
they've got
sense.
That pretty much mapped out. That's how that works. It's not where you're taking the space for the whole day. They can figure out, okay, you come in at this time and leave at that time, so another person can use it too.
Do you drive in?
I sure do.
Oh. I thought because you're...
Well, I live in Sugar Grove. What am I going to walk?
That'd be good for you.
You want some captions?
Sure. Okay. History lesson, kids.
A lot of people participate every week. A lot of the same people, I should say.
Yeah.
And they enjoy it, and that's fine. Like Christina Winnick, she's often included in the ones I like from Michigan City. Sorry, but if they put that Rahm's picture up here with us, I'm going to jump right off this wall and bitch slap his portrait. Jeez. Huh? Now, I know the Tribune wouldn't print that, but
no,
I like that.
No, we can't. Well, it's a family newspaper. Apparently, it's 1950. Dwight D. Eisenhower's president. Gasoline's a nickel. And everyone's dancing the hoochie-coochie.
Pamela Nelson of Schaumburg, final Chicago mayor, strolls past the portraits of his predecessors. Wow. He's
final.
Final.
Man.
He's the end of the era. We're not going to have a mayor anymore. Here's one from Chuck Allen of Lancaster, California. At this rate, he'll make the Wall of Shame.
Yeah, I got a few of those. I didn't get many of any of them. Neither did you. So, I mean,
what do you got?
I got Roy Kissel of Chicago. Hey, pass it down. He wants to tax us all just for hanging around. So I kind of like that. Mark Kroger or Koger of Princeton. Be generous with your time. Oh no, that's his sign off. Never mind. Your legacy portrait is John with a chalk outline, Rom. I think that's
Dominic
pretty
good. Ruffalo, Kenosha, this old DJ museum will take all day.
Oh.
Eric Avignon of Bourbonnais. I seriously have no idea who these people are.
Good God, Americans, read a book. Stuff happened before.
Now it's the listener.
No, what's it?
First it's the company, now then the security guards,
but
now the listeners.
Buckner Morris, no one's supposed to know that.
Buckner Morris, maybe you're right, but Ogden, come on. Anyway. So we've got Jack Sventi of Brookfield.
Well, if you're only 50 years old, you only had to know a couple mayors.
Two Daleys and a Sawyer.
Yeah. And
throw a burn.
And a burn and a
in Washington. Harold Washington, and you're done.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, no, I mean, we don't know our history very well, and I'm finding that to be true.
What do we need to know? What do we need to know?
What do we need to know?
Yeah.
This is basic stuff. I mean, you know, who's the first mayor of Chicago?
I didn't know that before your little cartoon.
And you were born and raised here, right?
Yeah, but I didn't think it was necessary to know the first mayor. Again, for 20 years, they had the old man, and then a couple fill-ins, and then the kid. There's our need to know. Yeah, that's about it. I got slim pickings like you, so I'll pick out three.
So somebody's going to easily win this one.
Well, that's fine.
It won't even take much to win.
It's summer. It's a beautiful day.
And I was thinking maybe the muff during the summer is not your biggest selling point, although Craig told me that I have been reissued. Craig, what am I able to give away now? Lou Malnati's? Craig? Or Creef?
Creef.
What am I giving away now? I got stuff again.
You do. You have Paisano's Pizza and Pasta gift cards.
Right.
Do you want me to do this on air? I'm not doing it on air.
No, on air would be good.
Oh, I am on air.
You
I am. I didn't know that. I was pushing another button. Okay, Paisano's Pizza and Pasta gift cards. You have Lou Malnati's if you want to give some of those away.
I do.
And you have a Rudy's Bar and Grill with the typical Dickies and the Muffs.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do because people were nice enough to participate, the few that they are. I'm going to have a deep prize list and I'm going to give away a lot of stuff.
That's because you're the nicest guy on radio.
To compensate for the poor drawing.
It's not a bad drawing.
Well, when your wife turns on you, know you've hit a bump.
Yeah, I know. You know, okay.
What's next
you're
week?
Right. When you're right, you're right.
What do you got next week?
Something,
something on a stick?
Tell me something. I tell you what. You guys come down and help
me out.
Have
you done something about all the shootings? You've covered that before. That's
I tend not to
evergreen.
Do that in the caption contest only because it's not funny. You know,
your stuff's not always funny.
No, but the editorial cartoon. In fact, that's the editorial cartoon for tomorrow is on the shootings.
It is.
So, yeah, I'm against them.
You're against? Okay, out on a limb.
Well, that's good.
So yeah. As far as the caption contest goes, you don't want to do that
thing. Right, I'm not going to do that.
But during the other days,
sure.
It's
oh, gosh, yeah.
Fully engaged.
Sure.
Wow.
That's how this works.
So are you a Taste of Chicago fan?
You know, the first time I ever came to Chicago... as an adult. I came here on field trips when I was in high school. But first time I was here as an adult, they happened to be Taste of Chicago, and I loved it. Haven't been back
the
since.
The problem is with the heat, and then you eat the turkey leg, and then suddenly the stomach starts to rumble, and you're looking at that porta-potty thinking, no.
No.
Can't do it. No can do.
Have you been yet? This...
I haven't been
just
since...
Started.
Well, it just started today.
I'll tell you this. I haven't been since 2004.
How come?
Probably. Wow. Just haven't been around. I'm still trying to see Million Dollar Quartet. Again.
And sheer madness.
Sheer madness. There's nowhere to sit to eat my gree-gree. And I just think,
Is that right? I heard
years ago. Now, it might be different. I haven't been, like I said, in a while. There weren't many chairs or tables, and I asked why, and somebody said because they're afraid, at least back then, that there would be some melee, and they would use the chairs as... weapons.
Nice.
So now I have to sit on a curb and eat my turkey leg.
Not unless you can load a bullet in it. I think.
Wow. Scott Stantis, that's
go.
Why you love him. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you,
talk to you
Mr.
next
Meyer.
Week. Donna's on the blower. Hey, Donna.
Hi there. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, I did submit an entry this week, and I actually had to look this guy up on Wikipedia. So I'm not sure if you knew this, but it said he was mayor in 1838. And it says, the first use recorded in the Oxford English Dictionary of the phrase to hell in a handbasket.
Okay,
I thought that was interesting.
You did send in a caption. You're Donna Rupert from Fort Collins,
yes.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of hell in a handbasket, very nice, Donna.
Well
played. Yeah, I thought that was appropriate.
Are you a former Chicagoan?
Yeah, formerly from Schaumburg, then before that, Streamwood. So,
how long have you been in Rado?
12, 13 years.
How's the marijuana treating you?
Delightful.
Yes, that glaucoma is going down pretty nicely.
Yeah.
What made you move there?
Family was here. You know, real estate market in Schaumburg area was good in 99, and we said, well, if we sell, we're going to go, and we sold the house in 6 hours. So we
6 hours?
Left.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I've heard these stories when the market was hot. A guy told me he put the for sale sign out. As he was walking back to the door, a car pulled up and said, I'll buy it. Now, that's a good market.
Yeah.
Six hours isn't bad either.
Yep.
You got your price, and and Colorado is cheaper to live in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we bought something brand new.
Yeah, with the money you made.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Well, one person moves out every 10 minutes, so you were part of that quota.
Yep. So, yeah, I've had to do this before with Scott's cartoons. I have to actually Google it or look it up on Wikipedia, try to find something.
That's too much work for a caption, I'll tell you that right now.
but it's fun.
All right. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you. Bye now.
Fort Collins. I think I drove through there when I did my Chicago to California trip many years ago.
Wow.
I think that's on the way, isn't it? I think
gotta
I
remember. Well, Colorado's got to be on
the way.
Well,
I know I went through Colorado. I think I went through Fort Collins, if I remember.
I love Colorado. So beautiful. Man.
Utah was the one that blew my mind.
Yeah, Utah's another one. Did you go to Salt Lake City?
Did we drive through there?
That's kind of...
But the those buttes and everything that you see, it just blows your mind. It's literally breathtaking.
When I went to Vail for the first time, they have a very small airport that's literally in between the mountains. Very small airport, and you land right in there. And it's one of those, it's such a small airport that when you get out of the plane, you get out of the plane and you walk down the stairs on the tarmac. There's nothing to connect it.
Right.
And I just walked out, and everywhere I looked was a postcard. And I was staring. I just kept looking around, and the guy said, no, sir, your bags are over there. He thought I was looking like, where are my bags? Because I kept turning in every direction. And I said, you don't understand. I'm from Chicago. We don't have views like this. Yeah. I'm just soaking this in. I mean, it was just breathtaking.
You've been to Aspen, too, right?
Yeah, Aspen.
Yeah.
God, oh.
Where now they say the billionaires are pushing the millionaires out.
Yeah, I mean.
I've said this before. You see these houses, and here they'd be $300,000. They're $5 million in Aspen because they're in Aspen.
Yeah, but that's beautiful, too.
Yeah.
Man.
That's why the billionaires are there. You think they go to some slum?
I one time I had driven, someone drove us from Vail back to Denver, and the ride is just amazing. You're going through all these mountains, and there were the guy that was driving the van is actually from Chicago, and I said, why did you move? As you often ask people, why'd you move? And he said, look around.
Look around.
This is why I moved. And I was like, I hope. You live here. I hope you don't take this for granted, because this is so unbelievable. I hope you do soak this in every day and go, wow, I'm living in a pretty cool place.
And he said, stop talking to me.
Shut up. I've got two more hours to go.
Yeah. You're burning my ears.
Are you going to talk for the whole drive?
It's really annoying. Like, I can't appreciate the countryside.
But you know how you live someplace and you take it for granted, and someone else walks in and goes, oh,
well,
my
that's
God,
why
look at the lake. We don't appreciate
in the showcase
the
studio, and people from out of the country, out of the state or whatever, first time in Chicago, I'd always ask them, so what has impressed you the most? Because after you live here your whole life, you take it for granted. You see this stuff all the time. But that's where you get the scope of, oh, that's what impresses people.
I mean, I don't think I appreciate the lake as much as I should.
We have beaches in a major city. That's pretty cool. But again, we got a 7-inch Lincoln doll walking around, and that's our spokesperson.
Whoa.
A man who came to visit his son was accidentally trapped inside an empty maximum security visiting area of Cook County Jail for 30 hours over the weekend. He was rescued when he broke a sprinkler head, alerting the fire department. His ordeal started Saturday about 6 when he was on his way to his weekly visit with his son, who's in sheriff's custody awaiting trial on a drug case. His son, who has been there for about 13 months, had been moved to a different area, a tier for workers that the man wasn't familiar with. He was told to proceed ahead and stay to the right to go to the visitor's area. He encountered a door that was propped open. He went in, and the door shut behind him. He was locked in the room where people visit the highest classification, super maximum security prisoners, for 31 hours. That's where he entered. There's no reason to check that room because it's not used on the weekends.
Okay. We don't have any really bad people on the weekends.
Wow. I think we've all made a wrong turn. I'm not saying in your car, where you start walking through a building and you find, I don't know where the hell I am.
But that's the worst place to get lost.
I think so.
That is not a good
maximum
place.
Security jail.
Now, was it possible that he could have come in contact with another scary person?
Let's see. Obviously relieved. Couldn't have been more gracious when they found him after 30 hours.
Well, he was relieved because he got out. But my scary thing is what if some criminal got into the room he was in and then nobody's there to help him?
Wouldn't they be escorting the ne'er-do-well, and you could go, hey, I don't belong here. Of course, they all say that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't belong here.
Yeah, that's going to go over well.
You got to get me out of here. I really don't belong. I'm lost.
Yeah, here's my ID. He probably doesn't have anything with him because if you visit, don't you have to? I don't know. I never visit anybody in jail, but don't you have to give your?
Then it's about time you did.
The guy who ate his eyeglasses. To
no, no,
stay
the
alive?
Guy who got locked. That
yeah,
locked
got
in.
Locked in.
Yeah, he Ooh. Ate his eyeglasses.
What?
I thought, maybe I'm combining stories. Somebody said
I think
that they.
You are.
Where was this?
He's eating his eyeglass.
Well, he got locked. He ended up knocking open a sprinkler
right.
system, a sprinkler head.
What's his eyeglasses?
That's the same story. But what was the eyeglass deal?
That he was chewing on his eyeglasses to sustain himself, or
and
maybe he was sharpening them.
Protein.
I. Of course,
Wait, I'm
I just
for that
lock
part
on
of
his.
It.
Eating his eyeglasses.
Where did you see that?
Maybe in my dreams. I'm sorry. By the way,
Doesn't
there's a really big protest going on in downtown Chicago right now.
And?
About 300 of them heading south on Michigan Avenue. They're around Randolph Street and allegedly heading to the federal building at LaSalle and Jackson.
What are they protesting?
They're pro-Palestinian protesters because of the things going on right now in Israel
ho,
and
ho.
Gaza.
Israel's got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. They all start off with hey, hey, ho, ho, because that's the easiest thing to rhyme.
They're
ho. You can rhyme anything with ho.
They're protesting Taste of Chicago. There's not enough pizza.
Not enough chairs. And they are on the sidewalk or now on the street?
Well, for the most part, they were staying on the sidewalk, but the police seemed to be kind of blocking off the right lane of Michigan Avenue, just, I guess, in case they fall off the curb or something. So it's really screwing up traffic on southbound Michigan Avenue now.
As usual, we can't get a break during the summer or any season, really, where all the arteries are open.
Because there has to be already a bad traffic jam in that area because of Taste, right?
Well, there wasn't until this happened.
Yeah.
Lakeshore Drive's been lighter than usual. And usually when it's a good Taste of Chicago, it's really, really crowded.
All right. So if you're downtown, be aware that that's going to screw you up. Boy, and when that starts getting screwed up, everything gets screwed up. You just can't move. I said that a few weeks ago when they closed for that triathlon, and I was coming down Michigan Avenue, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
You just close one or two streets, and everything gets screwed up. Well, when I'm mayor, that's not going to happen anymore.
So you won't go to Taste, then, this year?
I haven't been in, I swear to God,
right.
I haven't been
10
in
years,
a decade.
Then. That's 10 years.
Why? You go every year?
No, no, I don't go, but...
Okay. So what? You're worried about the Taste
well, no, because you
attendance
are...
dropping off?
Well, no, because you've always been a very harsh critic of the Taste.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't know if that was based on personal experience or just kind of an overview.
Both. I'm not that keen on standing around eating a turkey leg.
Yeah, I mean, when I see it on TV, I don't want to go. It doesn't look appetizing in any way.
And then when you get that human factor, the smell, moisture.
And then you brush up against somebody's bare arm and it's sweaty, and that's the end of it.
And there's too many people wearing shorts.
And shorts are...
Shorts aren't good. Most people in Chicago really shouldn't be wearing shorts.
Because you don't like knees? What
well,
don't you
no.
like?
No, I mean, we're not...
The shorts aren't the deal, it's the sandals.
Oh, really?
That's where you get the, wow, feet are not to be displayed.
I mean, Chicago is not a shorts city.
Okay. It's the sandals. I'm telling you, it's the sandals are what you don't want to see.
I don't know.
Especially those shower sandals. There's something about that look.
Why, people wear shower sandals?
Where their toes are kind of extended way beyond the front of the shoe.
And you can't help
extra
but
grippage.
Look. I mean, you look down and there's that gnarly toe, and then you can't get that image out.
And we've all got that gnarly toe. That one at the end.
I do.
Wait a minute.
Well, wait a minute.
Speak for yourself,
you don't have
Fred Flintstone.
I have delightful feet.
You don't have that bad that bad little nail that's hardly a nail? That's just kind of like
when you cover it in polish, no one
cares.
Okay, all right.
In fact, I had a pedicure in Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah. And I've decided, you know how I like to compartmentalize everything. Ukrainians have taken over the storage lockers.
Yeah, who's taking over the pedicures?
Vietnamese are doing the nails. And
you look so pretty.
Hello, Mr. Meyer.
And we talked Nam.
Oh, look at the little piggy who go to market.
And they start talking in Vietnamese to each other. I'm thinking they're making fun of me.
It's like that Seinfeld.
I know they're making fun of me.
When he brings in the...
Because all of a sudden they go right to the Vietnamese.
Well, because there's a woman stand-up who does the whole thing about that. And the women are talking, and then, oh, no, she, after like a five-minute diatribe, oh, no, she just say you look pretty.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, that was the one with Elaine when they were making fun of her.
As soon as I walked in, the guy went, what color you want on your nails? Because it got all the...
What color?
All the nail polish. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I sit down and I'm soaking, he starts talking in Vietnamese to the girls doing the pedicure. So and now, I know, I'm just going, come on, man.
So now, I've never had, so now what do? They soak your feet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then
oh,
what?
That's great. And then they clip and
well,
push
they clip
your cuticles
and, do they
back.
File or yeah. they just clip?
Yeah, they file, whatever. I don't know.
Buff if they need
I'm
to
so
buff.
Busy playing with the massage chair that I'm not really paying attention.
Would they pumice?
Yeah, because there's a lot of dead skin, and I never.
So they pumice your heels?
Yeah.
See? You laugh at me.
Well, because your poor wife has to do it.
That's some Vietnamese.
You're taking away a nice Vietnamese job.
So how long does the whole thing take?
Oh, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Where do you go?
Just some salon in the neighborhood. The thing is, there's no... There's nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Even if I'm the only guy there, which I usually am.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't care. I mean, because your feet get gnarly and... I can never get it all straight.
Is it expensive? $100?
No.
It's not $100?
No.
Really?
Oh, 30.
Oh, that's not bad.
25, 30.
Oh, that's not bad. 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I should. I would be embarrassed to go, though, because they would
oh,
look at
my
feet.
Oh, my God. You...
They would just go, like, where do we start?
They're going to have to bring out some industrial tool.
Where do we start? Because I've got, like, so in other words, are all of your nails kind of the same shape?
Yes, after they're done.
No, but, like, when you walk in.
Yeah, they're not too grotesque.
So you're so like your third toe doesn't have like
from
a,
the left or right.
No, like your third toe is that is does it have like a is it rounded like a half moon?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so that's not but that's not like the flat one on your second toe, right?
I try to round all of them, or they say with toenails you should do it right straight across the top, right?
Every one of my toenails is a different shape. I swear, my little toe, my big toe has, you know,
that has
nail.
To be the size of, I don't
not,
know what.
It's not. But my second toe has a flat nail. My third toe has a, it comes out.
Right.
Like a round. Then the fourth toe.
Is your cocaine nail.
Is my,
that's
yeah.
the one you do cocaine
and
off.
That one is kind of like a triangular one. It's got a point on one side.
And why are they all uneven?
And round on the other
Quasimodo.
Side.
Quasimodo.
And then the fifth one is just this kind of...
Went to market. Why are they all uneven?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Do all yours look the same? Because I would be ashamed or embarrassed.
Well, after you do that, then they'll all be the same. That's why you should do that.
Yeah. Because like the fifth one... So you actually have like a full-blown nail on your fifth toe?
Yes.
See, mine's kind of pushed in.
Ugh.
And yeah, it's, I don't know what they would do.
Because you have breakfast sausages for fingers. So I can't imagine what your toes look like.
Do you get a manicure too then?
No, I didn't. I have, but I didn't need one.
So now, do they do anything? Do they put that clear stuff on your nails?
They sometimes do.
But they didn't.
They didn't do this time. No. I would have had it. I don't care. Nobody can see that shiny.
Yeah,
I don't wear sandals.
Exactly.
I mean, because yeah, I can't be talking about sandals and then wear sandals.
So then why did you get one? Like, what was the impetus to get
it? I didn't have one since Christmas.
I was due.
I just couldn't get my heel smooth.
So that's, isn't that the worst?
Because I have a thing in the shower, but it's not doing, because they know how to scrape
it. I'm telling you, you lay on your stomach, you lift your leg up, and you have your wife just get the nice pumice stone.
You have your wife do that.
I could see your wife doing that.
Sure. Sure you can. Sicko. I'm sure you see it. Okay, let's get on your belly, put your legs up.
Well, because that gives her a nice base to work from, because then she can hold the ankle and then get a good, because.
There's no air conditioning, too.
Because you got
the full package.
You got to get a good rhythm on a pumice, because you got to get a good rhythm where you don't stop. And then you step, because she actually puts like a paper plate down so that. So that the dead skin won't go on the carpet or on the hardwood floor. So there's a whole thing. But that's when you know you're getting somewhere. And then the best part is when it starts to hurt. Because then you know that she's gotten to skin again.
She's gotten fresh skin.
Yeah. I haven't felt that pain in many years. I can't even tell you what the...
That's great.
With my heel...
What a beautiful evening.
I feel bad because I go to this health club and I like to go to the sauna. And so, you lay down in the sauna on the benches.
Do?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you just should sit.
Well, I lay... Because I lay down, I use my my towel as a pillow.
So you're naked?
No, not in the sauna. It's in the middle, like by the whirlpool. So it's co-ed. So I have shorts and a t-shirt on. But I don't have shoes on. So I feel bad because if somebody could see my heels when I'm laying down on my stomach. So I try to lay so that my feet are against the wall, so you can't see my heels.
You should not go in the sauna. You should have boots on.
Well, I used to wear
water shoes,
but they got mad at it. They said, "Oh, you can't wear shoes in here."
I can't believe you're going with shorts and a shirt.
Well, what am I going to wear?
Well, sauna, isn't that just a towel wrapped around you?
No, but this is a co-ed.
But still, can't you keep the towel? Or knowing you, you'd probably have your legs wide shut.
Well, no, in the men's locker room, they do have a steam room, and there the guys are just they. I don't know, for some reason. Especially these older guys where I go, they just love to walk around naked. And they love to go in that steam room naked and just sit naked.
I can't do that.
I can't do that. I don't know what it is. There's guys that are shaving. Now, they're in...
Shaving in the sauna.
No. They're in the locker room, and there's two lines of sinks with the space in the middle, and there's three guys... And you walk in and you walk past there and they're completely naked.
Shaving
in the mirror. Why can't you put a pair of shorts on?
That to me says they're...
I can't understand.
They're doing more than shaving.
What is
going
on?
They're shaving and trolling.
And they're having conversations with each other by their locker completely naked.
Are these older guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely naked.
What is that about those guys?
I don't know. And they're sitting on these little stools naked. I'm like, put
and they're probably all anti-gay, too.
Oh, you know
yeah,
that.
They're always like,
yeah.
Talking bad about gays.
But they are walking around just naked, naked, naked. I'm like, you can't throw a pair of shorts on to have this conversation? Or shaving? Why would you be shaving naked?
Well, you should ask them that.
I mean, it is... But
I'd like to see them around the Pride Parade time.
Right, yeah. Damn, guys.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Degenerates. But, man, do they love to walk around naked.
What do you do when you've been the national champion for the past 4 years in the 800-meter race, but you're 34 weeks pregnant during this year's U.S. Track and Field Championships? Alicia Montano, she ran the course 34 weeks pregnant. What's the full package of pregnancy?
9 times 4 is 36.
So she was 2 weeks away from giving birth, and she ran. She didn't win. She finished almost 35 seconds slower than her personal best. Well, that's not.
And she's running for two.
Really, right. 2 minutes, 32 seconds. 34 weeks pregnant. See, that's what I hate when I see a 34-week pregnant woman running faster than I could.
Or even has the drive to want to run.
I just didn't want to get lapped and be the first person to get lapped in the 800.
Jeez. That little kid's going to be very competitive.
28-year-old consulted with her doctors. They encouraged her to run. What I found out mostly was that exercising during pregnancy is actually much better for the mom and the baby.
Well, what's the baby doing?
Must be good for the baby somehow.
They just say that. The baby's just sitting there. The baby's not doing anything.
Maybe it's come as like a tumble dry, some kind of stimulation. In the womb.
Oh, man. Oh, more power to her.
I brought some CDs up from the new office because as I was
literally
going,
up.
What do you mean?
Well, your office is down.
So downstairs now. I'm up. And I saw this soundtrack from Inglourious Basterds, the Quentin Tarantino film. And I always liked this David Bowie song that was featured in the movie.
Oh, Putting Out Fire?
Yeah. Do you have that?
Oh, of course.
Of course,
come
you
on.
Have that on
23,000 songs.
You have that on your pod?
I'm sure I do. Let me just look under David Bowie.
I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, to watch you go through your 25,000 songs, I don't know if anybody's up for that. Okay. First of all, I think we're all recuperating from hearing that your filings land on a paper plate.
Well, how else are we going to do it?
Number 11.
Number 11.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know it was going in that direction. 312-521-8600. Somebody has that other phone number on here. I'm taking that off. Hear that? That's gone. Why is this up here? This isn't where this belongs. Tossing it. Goodbye. 312-521-8600. You don't want those numbers.
11?
Yeah.
Could that song be 10 minutes long?
Is that what it says?
Oh, no, that's 10 seconds. Okay.
Okay, great.
It's 4 minutes.
Okay, terrific. Doing some fuzzy math.
Okay.
Here is David on WGN.FM. David Bowie and putting out the fire with gasoline and something from the next track.
Now, that shouldn't be right. They'd
Cat People. That's like the name of that.
Yeah, that was the theme, I think, from the remake in the 80s of Cat, the movie, The Cat People.
Yeah.
With Natasha Kinski.
Jody?
No, Tony. It
says Jody on the screen. Well, I got two producers, same name problems. Go ahead, Jody. Tony?
No, no problem. I just wanted to say that you're doing awesome, and I've been listening since the mid-'80s. So.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
And I just wanted to comment on Bibble's comment on going to gyms and having an old man walking around naked.
Yes.
There's, you know, I've been to, lived in about three different states, and it's not just in this area. It happens everywhere. So it's just
old guys like to shave naked.
They just
it's universal.
They love to shave
naked. I guess, yeah. I don't know about different countries, but it's definitely in the states.
I don't even like to be naked in the locker room in my little corner when I'm getting dressed. I will turn away if there's another guy. And not that they're going to recognize me. I don't care if it's out of Chicago. I still don't like that.
No, it's not right. It's just not right.
It's not. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it in its own place.
And that's not the place.
And that is not the place. The locker room.
It's not the, no, it's not the place.
Well, certainly not the sink.
No.
The sink. You're brushing up against the linoleum there.
Yeah. That. Oof. That's why I never joined a health club, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's not any time of day either. It could be morning
or
night.
No,
no. No, it's just all day, all the time.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Tony.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate it.
I guess there's something to be said for the freeness. Do women walk around naked all the time in the locker room?
I don't pay attention. I'm one of those who keeps properly covered and gets the hell out as soon as I can.
Yeah, I mean,
Are you part of a health club?
No.
But like, what about
because
the gym?
I can exercise at home and not have to deal with that smell.
Yeah, I don't know. Even, and just working out in front of other, and again, not that they're looking at me. It's just I just never warmed to that.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure, I shouldn't say fungus, that they're very clean, very, very clean. My sister is a fitness consultant, a health fitness instructor, and her gym is incredible. Beautiful, beautiful place.
Back.
All right.
Backtrack. Cover your butt.
You mentioned that new size, it's in Great Britain, 000?
J. Crew, internationally.
International, there's a new size, 000, which is, what size waist are we talking here?
Extra, extra, extra small. It's got to be one of those 18-inch
waist.
It's the new goal, the 000.
The 000.
I want to get into the 000.
And they're saying that it isn't a case of vanity sizing. Vanity sizing is when they take a size 8 and call it a size 4. Just to make women feel better about themselves. They're saying this is still based on their standard sizing.
And this is mostly for Asian women that seem to achieve
this
size.
They've opened up this Asian market. Well, by and large, they're not by and large.
No.
They're pretty darn
they're
small.
Buying very small.
That is amazing because I always had that goal of Vera Ellen from White Christmas. And of course, I'll never get close. But
think she'd be a 000 then?
What was her waist? I know it's been in Wikipedia, I believe.
Did you say 20-something?
I thought you read 21
inches. Was it 21 inches?
It's something really small.
Well, and then you get those women who do the extreme corseting.
Yeah, that's...
And you just know that they're mixing up their innards something nasty.
That doesn't even look good.
No.
No.
I don't know why they think that's the way to go. Come on. And you're an hourglass, literally.
That's not even...
It looks like you're being pulled like a potato sack.
Yeah. Well, you are. I mean, let's be honest. Like she said...
Your organs are moving.
Your organs are going to different sides of your body there. That's not just a little nudge.
You just don't want, if you can help it, not to have too much hanging over the belt. That's the goal.
Is that the goal? That's my goal. That's the goal.
Just don't want too much hanging over the belt.
When I told you about the, we were talking about the hot dog guy, Joey Chestnut, yeah. Eating all those things, and I told you that they did a thing on ESPN where they showed how the stomach expands. And they shoved all these hot dogs into this torso with a thing. And they said that in the course of eating, all of his organs are going to be moved around because the stomach is expanding so much that it has to move all the organs out of the way.
What is the wiggle room on organs? How far can they move before they're disconnected?
They can move. We'll figure during pregnancy, your organs have gotten moved around. And I'll tell you right now that... The bladder doesn't like it. It doesn't like it at all.
The bladder wants to be where it wants to be.
Exactly.
Glad I'm never going to have to experience that.
Yeah, that's such a nice byproduct of being a guy.
Kate?
Gary, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
So I am amazed I did not get arrested while at the nail salon today. I'm sitting there getting my toes done, and I'm listening to this mother call her, like, four-year-old daughter repeatedly because the kid has her iPad, her iPhone, and won't come back to the mom and give it to her over and over and over. And I'm just about to lose my mind on this kid when the girl doing my toes clips my foot and, like, blood is coming out of my toe. And she starts, like, whispering to her friend next to her in Vietnamese, and I lose my mind. I'm like, enough with the whispers in Vietnamese, and how about an apology in English?
Uh-oh, international incident.
She got up. She scurried away from me. I never saw her again. Another girl came over like a geisha, like as quiet as could be, as gentle and nice. Oh, so sorry. Did my toes beautifully. Man came up to me who was running the place, checked that I was okay, and he's like, I'm so sorry. Let me take $10 off the bill. And I went about my way.
Wow, that sounds pleasant. Now, again, that's just a broad observation of it seems like a lot of these...
Don't call her that.
A lot of these nail salons have gone in that direction as far as the ownership. Am I wrong?
You don't seem wrong. Apparently, she didn't know how to say, I'm so sorry, in English.
Ukrainians, storage lockers.
Korean
dry cleaning. I don't know why they lined up that way, but that's the way it's gone.
Greeks, family restaurants.
Family restaurants and Greeks.
Mexican drywallers.
Right.
Yep.
Pakistanis and donut shops and convenience stores. That's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. I'm not.
Right.
Notice none of them are Americans. We don't want to do these jobs.
What happened? Where's our initiative?
Yeah, how come we can't file a few toenails down? Why can't we pumice?
But why is it that those groups go to those things? Why the storage lockers become in the hands? I think it's Russian, Ukrainian, whatever. They're
Eastern blockers.
Right, whoever owns the place now.
Well, because word spread. One guy did it and said, easy money in America. Big people, they have no place. They have so much crap, no place to put. So all I do is buy building.
Well, why weren't they saying that in Ecuador? Why weren't those people motivated to come here and do storage lockers?
Because they're already cutting the grass. The guy's like, what? I just bought this lawnmower. Now you want me to buy a storage space? Make up your mind.
It is interesting that all of these areas now are being handled by foreign people. They came in, and that's what they've decided to take over.
So now you have an international audience. We need to ask foreigners what Americans go to your country
start
up.
Yeah. Are like guys from Arkansas doing convenience stores over there?
In the Ukraine, yeah.
No, we just invent apps. That's all we invent now, apps. That's all we make, apps. We have no more, we don't even have any more factories anymore.
No factories.
Seriously, we're not making anything here.
WeatherTech car mats.
Here's
Bolingbrook.
Here's a text. Hey, Edith. I went down to the storage locker there, huh?
All the Ukrainians over there.
Now I get moose and squirrel talk, huh?
You going down to the commie storage area?
You get your nails down there by the, Ho Chi Minh Trail, huh?
But, I mean, like, for instance, I know that I can't remember what nationality does the threading for the eyebrows.
That's usually Middle Eastern.
Yeah. But I remember when I worked at one place.
Jordanian girls.
All the women said, oh, you got to go. I don't want to. Now, is it politically correct to call the word gypsy? Can you say that?
Irish travelers.
Okay. Yeah. But there was like, oh, this woman, she's the best.
They said she's a gypsy?
They said she's a gypsy. And then the girl goes, well, I've got a gypsy that does. And then they were all comparing the gypsy women that were doing they're threading the eye.
They have tambourines?
I don't know.
And no tweezers, so they had to make do.
And they also said, bring an egg in a bag and then bury it in the yard and put all your money in it.
And then have them reseal your driveway, too, because that's their specialty.
And they told your fortune. But, yeah, the threading thing, I don't know where that all of a sudden, that's about 15, 20 years ago when that started to get popular, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
And then all of a sudden, these women that worked.
Do you thread, Leslie?
Do you call them gypsy? Aren't they supposed to be? Isn't Roma?
I don't know.
The politically correct term? No, I
heard Irish travelers.
Yeah.
I had eyebrow issues as a child.
This sounds a little.
I shaved them
a little
off.
Little tender here.
I shaved them off when I was in like third grade.
Oh, nice. Because
I saw girls plucking them, and that seemed painful. So I figured I could get the job done a lot quicker. Took my dad's razors, took them off, and. Yeah, and
they didn't grow back?
Not the way they should have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you know.
She draws them on. Hi, Dad.
Right.
So now we follow up way too much about Jim's feet and my eyebrows. Gary, care to share?
I got a number of texts. This is the dinner hour, damn it. Have a little respect.
I love the drawn on ones, though. Those are great.
That is the goofiest look.
I know. It's so crazy.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah.
I want to get them tattooed on, but nah.
Go get my cigarettes, will you?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Hey.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Edith, the colors, you know. This text, naked women in locker rooms due to all varieties of tattoos on belly, thighs, heading to their Virginias all over.
Oh, wow. I never thought of that.
No, I'm sure you didn't.
This is a very, think about in the next 20 to 30 years, everybody will most likely have a tattoo.
Everybody?
No, I mean like older people. Because everybody now seems, if you're in your 20s, I think everybody has at least one tattoo.
How are those going to look in 30 years?
That's my point. Everybody's going to have these sagging butterflies.
I'm sure they don't think about that when they're getting them.
I mean, everybody has a tattoo now.
Everybody.
Well,
lots
I don't have a tattoo.
I mean in their 20s. I'm saying anybody
so
in their
everybody from 20 and under right now.
It may be a slight generalization, but I would say that a good number of people, I notice almost everyone I look at seems to have a tattoo somewhere.
I watched that Miley Cyrus concert on Sunday. Do you see that?
No.
And
the new one? Bangers?
Bangers. Overbiter. And because that's what you do on a Sunday night in the summer, as I'm catching fireflies.
Yeah. They're coming out again.
Oh, I love fireflies.
It was great to see them, yeah. I hadn't seen them in a while.
She raised her arm and a couple, and she's got something tattooed on her inner arm. Yeah.
Oh, I guess I just read on the internet she got something about her dog just died or something, and they said the tattoo that she's going to regret getting. Because I guess she did some kind of big homage to her dead dog.
In the concert, she has this giant inflatable dog that is a replica of her dog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she apparently got some major tattoo that's good. People said that there's no way 20 years from now she's going to be happy that she has.
Okay.
Well, invariably, when they try to do those portrait tattoos, there's a lot of failure rate in there. Because you've seen some where they have, like, babies and they just look like little devil babies.
There's this one woman online.
It's a certain art.
That is a big Elton fan, and she's got her entire body done with different Elton John-related
stuff all over her body. It is really weird. I even think it's weird.
Oh, yeah. And when you, that is the ultimate disgusted compliment.
I mean, wow.
Not a compliment, disgusted reaction.
Yeah.
When you are put off by it.
I'm actually put off because I would think it would be kind of, something like if you, I don't know how much you remember from the Goodbye Obic Road album, but the album, when you folded it out, every song had a little drawing with the lyrics. And so for Saturday Night's Alright for Fighting, there was a kind of a cool one that had like a knife with a snake.
She's got that.
And she, oh, yeah. Well, that one, I would say, if I ever got one, maybe that one I would get. But this, she's got, like,
everything.
Album covers. No, it's just unbelievable.
I was thinking of getting Sergeant Pepper on my ass one time, but I chickened out.
Well, you know what a lot of people do is they get a celebrity to sign their arm, and then they
have
that tattooed in.
They have that their autograph tattooed then. I've seen Elton's on people, and I've seen Bruce Springsteen's and stuff where people say, can sign my arm, and then they get the... They have the tattoo artist just ink that marker, and then they have the autograph.
I don't know, when everybody's getting it, it doesn't seem like it's cool, right?
Exactly. But
so within 10, 15 years, I'm thinking like younger kids are going to want to have some sort of computer implant or
like
something
chip,
like that, a chip put in. Or
right.
What's the other thing? Is magnets in your fingertips?
For what?
What?
So you can do stuff.
Pick up nails and things?
You can play that game with the where you put the
filings.
Yeah, without even the, with that little pencil.
You might put a beard and
awesome at cleaning up the garage.
You don't need the little pencil. You just use your finger for that.
Oh, great. That's worth it.
Wow. But they're going to look at tattoo people and go, ew, that's so stupid and so.
Where did you see that?
24.
Is that the same story where the guy was chewing on his eyeglasses for protein?
Just make this
you are making this up.
Hang on.
Magnets in your fingertips.
I have not heard of that one.
Well, our cat, I believe...
Magnet implant fingers. Thank you, Google. What do you need to know about getting magnet fingerplant implants?
Where is it most predominant? In hardware stores? Guys working in hardware stores?
They just go by the aisle.
Yeah.
What do you need?
I need 5 pounds of that.
Okay.
They just put their hands out.
The title of this is, I have a magnet implant in my finger. And what's he doing? Picking up a paperclip.
Worth it. Hey, it's 6 o'clock.
Spartans, what is your profession?
And where did this craze start? Who thought of this?
Wow.
Who's the first guy to think of this?
I first read about magnet implants in the technology was in its infancy. Not a blah, 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 blah. I'm not getting a year on it.
Well, I'll tell you, now I think about the practical applications. I was unscrewing the light, like in our vanity in the bathroom where the light, light bulbs, you had to unscrew it. They have these real small screws.
So they just stick right to your finger.
I dropped every one. They bounced on the tile. They went into the garbage can this way. I just would put my finger. Zip.
How much does it cost?
Who does it? It's Vietnamese.
What ethnic group has decided they want that? Canadians. They're doing all the magnet in the fingers.
Number of topics.
Where did you first stumble on this?
I think it was probably on a tech site like Gizmodo or someplace like that.
Oh, sure. Gizmodo.
Gizmodo. He was the Marx brother who was into all the tech stuff.
This Harpo, one article was written
Gizmodo,
in 2013,
Gizmodo.
And the guy's had it for 3 years.
Where was it?
It was written in 2012, and he says that he had had his in his finger for 3 years.
Where's he from, though? Does it say?
It's U.S. America.
Okay. But it's not like, is it Silicon Valley or something?
Probably.
Well, if you have a lot of refrigerator magnets and like to get them off real fast.
I mean, you laugh, but.
I do laugh.
There's actually, I could see some application.
Practical application for this.
Well, the paperclip is not a bad one either. How many times do you go into your little, don't you have like a drawer where you have all like little stuff and you're always, you have to grab and you get like a whole handful of the stuff you don't want?
in that little drawer.
I just don't want to have where I have my sunglasses and there's a piece of metal in there and I pick
Zap.
It and then and they're stuck to my finger.
But I'm thinking of grabbing stuff where there's like nails. Or
they're saying it's better to do it on the hand that is not your primary hand. Your
that makes sense.
Strong hand.
But like I said, I could have easily used that the other day because those nails, I had to do it three times. And they kept bouncing out and falling.
There's a moment right there where
almost
you're thinking.
Fell right in the toilet.
Why are you doing any home maintenance? I don't even care if it's changing the light bulb.
Well, because my wife says, the light bulb isn't seem to be working. So now what am I going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to lose some nails, screws?
I can't call somebody. Although it keeps going out. So I have to call probably an electrician now because it seems like. Because I put it should have two bulbs. I put the bulb in the one that we never use, and it was, and I could hear the electricity going in the bulb. That can't be good.
No, they have an audio component.
Yeah. I mean, I heard this.
It's like some gases that don't have a smell. They have to put a smell in it so you don't get overcome. Yeah, that you want to know your electricity's working.
I mean, I plugged the bulb in because I said to myself, I took the little fixture down, and I said, how come we don't have two bulbs in here? You know, we've got there's the holder
sure.
for two bulbs.
We've got the sockets.
But why aren't we only using one? So then I got another bulb. I plugged it in. I hear this zzz, zzz, and I'm like, I don't know if I should keep
that's
this
why
going.
You don't have two bulbs in.
That's right.
You figured that one out.
But now the other bulb that supposedly works keeps going out. And it's not but it's not zizzing. So now
you're the
I don't know what to do.
You're the opposite of Lou Manfredini. You're like Pooh Manfredini or something.
But I hate to call it because, like an electrician, this is probably so simple and so stupid.
All right, but that's
I know, but you
what
know
they
that
do.
Don't.
Well, they always say with electricity,
don't fool.
Yeah, because that's one of those things.
Yeah, I don't want to fool around it. But my
there
point,
was a story in the New York Times, sad story. Fireman dies over the weekend. They go into this apartment. There's smoke coming out. This and that, and. Because the guy had so much junk, it started a flash fire, and this guy got caught and died. And they investigated, and they found the fire started because there was an air conditioning cord that was pinched behind a dresser.
Oh.
And that's how the fire started.
Wow.
So with electricity and all that stuff, not that that's
no,
applicable
no,
to
but
what
I
you're talking
no,
about.
I understand.
But with electricity, you hurt one wrong thing, to no. boom, fire
what,
time.
What? In the house we had before this was the first house.
You're not ready kilowatt. I'll tell you that
I know,
right now.
No, I am not even close. And so, you know, when you first get a house, especially when you're younger and you're, you know, 20s, whatever. Oh, you're 30, whatever. Your first
40s,
house, you
right.
always want to do something. Like, you think that you can do this. Oh, it's my house now and I could fix stuff. So
never think that.
They said, oh, you know, my wife says, oh, I'd like to get new fixtures. For the kitchen.
Fixtures?
Got fixtures? Em. No problem. And she says,
Schmixtures.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some in the trunk.
And it's all it is black wire on black wire and red, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's
all color-coded.
Zip, no problem. Well, every house is different. Everybody
right.
puts different colors, electricity things in there. I'm sitting there.
And he's stripping the end of the wire. He saw that. And
yeah.
you twist it on that cap.
And what is
and
it?
You twist that cap
yeah.
on there.
And what does it mean to ground? What does that even mean?
I think you stop right there and call an
electrician. Yeah, do I need to ground?
Yes.
Really? Because I don't even know if I grounded.
You are.
But so I
electricity, put I was told, is like water. You have to imagine the way it flows and how you shut it off, and that's usually
really?
When I start
yeah.
hearing white noise.
So I put up this thing. It looks like I did it right. I had those little cap things that you're talking
sure,
about.
Sure, you twist them and they somehow tighten everything.
I don't know how that worked, but it worked.
Does.
I fit it into the wall, and we lived in that house for 3 years, and every day that
you smelled smoke.
No, every time, but every time I hit the switch, I expected the house to blow up. It worked. I don't know
except
how.
Except for that shock he got.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it, but I was always paranoid that every
That's
time.
Great.
There was so much stress.
The main thing is you save $75.
I know.
That's the main thing.
Well, I don't know. Do the electricians, do they charge just to come out?
Oh, yeah.
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 So that's on top of what they do.
Yeah.
Because I know that this is so stupid that whatever
okay,
I have going here is going to be,
okay,
he's going to go like this. He's going to go zip, zip, zip. Okay, but then 7 minutes.
You don't know how to zip, zip, zip.
I know.
That's why you don't work on your car either.
I know.
You open the hood and go, I can't zip, zip, zip on this either.
Have you ever seen a lawyer in court? Sometimes it's so zip, 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 yeah. And then they charge you $3,000.
I guess.
Easy peasy.
I know. I got to call because I don't. Because
that's true of so many things. When you see somebody do it, I have a friend who builds things, and I watch him. I go, boy, he makes it look so easy. I cut my fingers off.
This one guy came over one time. I don't know if it was a plumber. Or what? He felt so guilty that he was like, is there anything else I could? Because he was done in 40 seconds.
And it was $400.
Yeah, I mean, he literally, I think, I was so embarrassed. I think all he did was turn a valve.
All right. Now, turning a valve, that should be standard.
I think all he did was go, well, you know, this isn't open. Because I'm like, well, how come the water's not coming up?
And all right. That's bad.
And he goes, and he turns the valve, and he goes, I think it's this. And he felt so, because, you know, they charge $100.
Sure, to come out.
Just to come out to the house. And he was like,
anything else?
Is there anything else?
Well, I got another valve.
And when I open the door, the light goes on.
He's like,
how do you flush a toilet?
He's like, how is, you know, are there any drains that are running low? I mean, can I root something out? Can I route? I mean,
did he do anything else?
Rot something? Well, he actually did. Because I said, well, yeah, maybe you can use that thing that, like that. Big boom thing that cleans out your pipe, like it's like some kind of explosion thing that they put some tension on or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about enemas? No,
I don't know. It's something. He goes, I'm putting about 40 pounds of pressure on this thing, and it blows out the stuff. So I said, well, blow out all my
blow out everything.
I mean, what the heck? What am I going to lose? I got you for an hour. Yeah. Can you dance?
Hey, I mean, come on, blow me out.
I mean, what am I going to
do? How much is that going to charge?
But he felt so bad. Because he knew that it was
again,
like...
again, that's the way it goes.
And I know I have to call this.
And maybe someday you can go over to his house and blah, 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 and make it look so zip, zip, zip.
Maybe I could go and tell him a few stories about my feet.
Yeah, on a paper plate. Maybe that'll entertain him. We've got to do the opening here.
Oh, okay.
It is WGN.FM. Gary Meyer.
Testing now. Go.
Oh, it's getting fuzzy.
Rub it.
It's soft.
I'm going to give you some money if you keep rubbing it.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, Gary.
Good evening, Alaska and Piatone. The New York Yankees have filed a complaint with Chicago PD because a Chicago cop who served as extra security at U.S. Cellular asked Derek Jeter for an autograph for a police charity event.
What did you say?
Because Jeter is retiring, his signature will be going up in value.
Is this just math that you do to make yourself feel better, or is this real?
The incident is being investigated because sources are questioning the authenticity of it being for a police charity. We had over 80 people shot over the weekend, 15 dead. Yeah, we'll get right on that well-paid ballplayer signature complaint right away. Target Field in Minneapolis is the first Major League Baseball stadium to roll out self-serve beer machines that let fans decide exactly what size brew that they're ready for.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
I'd love to see this installed in Philadelphia for Eagles fans.
No!
Let the FUN begin.
Okay.
Yeah, I need a big brew right here. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer broadcasting free and clear of the man.
You guys want to get fired? Just keep it up.
On the Super G, the Gear Force, WGN.FM. The F is for flying from Chicago. You're free. I love you.
Oh, yeah. Then
yes,
the concert,
I do.
When he says that, everybody cheers. When he says, I love you, we all cheer. Yes, because we love you.
Oh, I thought if you were in Philadelphia, you would do
no,
that.
No, he's talking to the fans. You know, I love you. No, yes.
I picked Philadelphia because I was thinking of all of these cities that have the craziest fans. And
oh, they're the worst.
The Eagles fans have that notoriety of throwing batteries at players and throwing snowballs at Santa Claus one year.
They have a court in the stadium.
A court.
Yeah, they have a judge. It's not a joke. And
easy processing.
And so they do. I don't know if it's in the outdoor where the football games are or where the basketball, like the old Spectrum, but there was a court in mm-hmm. the stadium to process these people
okay.
for disorderly
That's why
conduct.
I picked them. Yeah. If you've seen Silver Linings Playbook, it is based on the Eagles, and there are juju, and there is a bit of a melee in the parking lot in a tailgating situation. 312-521-8600. It says here, I would think a magnet in Bibble's fingers would be tough with the metal plate in his head. No, Clark. Yeah. 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 See this? This is all metal right here. And when the wife turns on the microwave, how does that go with Cousin Eddie? When the wife turns on the microwave, something like that. I forget how that goes.
I can't remember.
You don't remember that from Christmas Vacation?
No.
When they're on the hill with the disc?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. But
he's talking about his metal plate.
I don't remember the lines, though.
The microwave goes on, the dog farts or something. Something like that. All right. So that is what's going on. What's going on? Well, Tom Skilling, if you did not hear the 3 o'clock report with Tom Skilling, Tom today sent me a video and song combo. I can only play the song. The video is up to you to find on the Internet. And the song is a takeoff on Let It Snow, right? Or Is It Snow?
No, Snow.
Let It Go.
Let it go from Frozen.
Right. From Madame Bazooza, whatever Travolta called her. And Tom sent him. Tom sent this to me.
She is wicked.
And he said, my Lord, is this funny? Something like that in
my
capital
word.
My word. This is funny. And I listened to it, and there are F-bombs, but it is very well done. And I asked him if I should play it, and he was reluctant. But I said, okay, I'm playing it anyway. Did a warning. And if you want to hear that, the show is repeated starting at 7 o'clock, and the show will be podcast, too. So if you want to hear that whole exchange, that's when that happened. Would you erase the data in every CD you touched with your magnetic fingertips?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Huh? How about your credit card? Doesn't that screw up credit card, the strip?
Oh, good points.
You just use the other hand. By the way, that Eddie quote.
What's that Eddie quote?
Don't go putting none of that stuff in my sled, Clark. You know that metal plate in my head? I had to have it replaced because every time Catherine revved up the microwave, I'd piss my pants and forget who I was for a half hour. So
there. That's it. All right. A pizza was ordered, or a number of pizzas were ordered, when a flight was delayed in Wyoming. In Cheyenne, the Domino's there got a call about 10 p.m. Monday. Just as he was about to send his employees home, the manager said the pilot of this plane told him he needed to feed 160 people fast. A Frontier Airlines pilot treated them to pizza when storms diverted a Denver-bound flight to Cheyenne, where the plane was stuck for a couple hours. The manager of the Domino's said he and his crew made about 35 pizzas and delivered them to the airport, where the driver handed the food off to flight attendants. The number of pizzas they made is usually what the store does in an hour. This time they needed to make them and deliver them in about 30 minutes. Isn't that what they do? Or that was their campaign before.
Now
they don't do that anymore,
yeah,
right?
They don't do that.
Because their drivers, they were worried about their drivers
being
crazy.
Well, they were getting crazy.
And accidents. So they stopped doing that. But how about that? At least this pilot knows how to keep people happy in these flights that are stranded for a while. Hey, my idea of the bus that raises up, attaches to the plane, you got snacks, everybody's happy. You don't have to sit in that tube.
And they have buses, because I just saw at another airport, you know, now that American and U.S. Airways have merged, that it was in Washington. They have, you know, now their gates are all, you have to, you know, they're changing their gates. And they said, if you were on U.S. Air or U.S. Airways, whatever, the bus will be taking you to another gate. So clearly they have buses.
Yeah. Some airports do have these buses.
That drive on the tarmac.
Every major airport should have them for those situations. The podcasts don't play your music for some reason. Yes, the podcasts do not have the music that I play because we can't do that because we're not licensed to play the music on the podcast. I don't know why that would be different. Craig is here, or Keith, or Creef.
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 Yeah, it's called redistribution. If we actually put the songs out in podcast form for people to download, they could edit just the songs out and then own them illegally.
There was a time when an artist would kill to get his song on the radio.
I know.
And now it is the exact opposite. And I know because there is the stealing that goes on, and they wouldn't make any money, but it is funny how it's gone from that from 30, 40 years ago to now all these restrictions.
And radio was the major, if not only, outlet to hear music and sell records.
Yeah.
And now it's hard to do that. They won't let you.
I know. Pizza's from the garbage, like from Auntie Annie's. Remember I had the story at the airport on Sunday where I bought the pretzels, and then the woman saw me eating the Auntie Annie pretzel, and she goes, they just threw them all away because they closed for the day. You could have just picked them out of the garbage.
See, what
and
I
these pizzas were not in the garbage at Domino's.
Well, I was thinking about that last night. I can't believe you didn't take those and take them home.
The ones in the garbage?
Yeah. They just threw them out.
Okay.
What could have happened in 5 minutes?
But how far? It's an airport garbage can. Why would I pick out of that? And I would never do that anyway.
But that woman just, wasn't she hinting at that?
She can do it, but why would I take them home and go, honey, look what I got at the airport garbage can?
Well, you don't have to tell her.
Okay. Just have her eat it.
You could have had 5 or 6 or 10 free of those free pretzels.
Yeah. And where, first of all, think about this. Where am I going to put these pretzels? In my
wrap
luggage,
them up and put them in your
shove
bag.
My luggage is tight. I got it just to the point where I can zip it up.
You can't put anything?
There's, no.
Oh, okay.
I get it to the point where it is maxed out. If I open it up, it's going to all pop out.
But those pretzels are very pliable.
These. Yeah, flatten all these pretzels out because I got them out of the garbage
and just
for
think
free.
How just think how good your bags would have smelled, like all that cinnamon.
Yeah, that's a
no,
a
I
nice.
Can't believe, no, really, you should have taken at least 2 or 3 of those. It's not.
You're crazy.
It's not garbage until it's been there for a while.
It's in an airport garbage can. Who knows what else has been in there over the years?
You don't think that
no.
they threw them out in kind of like in a box of some sort that
I don't know.
Shielded it from the other garbage? And I'll think about it. All their garbage tastes good. It all smells. What are they throwing out? They're throwing out hot dogs?
I'm not.
Like, what could Auntie Annie's throw out that's bad?
It's not their own garbage can. It's probably in front of the little store.
Some guy blows his nose in an Auntie Annie
Have you seen
napkin
people
and
the
throws
airport?
It in their garbage.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. But no, but I thought maybe it was their own garbage, like from their little spot. You're saying it was like a community garbage.
I'm assuming it's a can that's in front of their deal. And this woman
saw community garbage.
Toss it all in there.
All right. Well, then all right.
Really?
I would think
that's what's going
to
stop
If it was an Auntie Annie's garbage, I would have to say that is... That's not completely off limits.
Because you eat off trays in hotel hallways.
Hey, the other day when we were in Washington, there was a little, I don't even know what happened, but there was like a small refrigerator that was out in the
hallway.
In the hallway. I opened it.
What was in there?
There was nothing in there. But if there was something.
So he took the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. I put that in my luggage.
I'm always interested in the things in the hallways at the. At the hotels.
Yeah, he has eaten off of trays that people put out in the hallway.
Oh, it was a roll that was not broken into at all. And one time was a piece of pizza. But that wasn't.
Yeah.
It was by
itself.
And
then there was that chicken.
Right. And that half-eaten beef sandwich. No. Wes?
There's never a chew mark in anything.
What up, Wes?
What up, Gary? Hey, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
I know.
Hey, I was going to tell you last night, and I forgot to. There's a restaurant in Pittsburgh called Fatheads for your next trip. Those pretzels, you'll throw them in the trash, too. I'm telling you, this place, they've got sandwiches that have so much on the menu, it's unbelievable. You got to go there and try it. But
Fatheads.
Fatheads, yeah. They have a brewery there. They make their own beer, and they have these sandwiches with I had a sandwich with anchovies, stuffed peppers with hot sausage and all this other stuff. It was insane, but I keep hearing you talking about these pretzels in the trash can. They're making me thirsty. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretzel. Now, the cinnamon ones don't make you thirsty because it's not all salt. It's cinnamon. Instead of salt, it's just cinnamon.
Part.
Yeah.
So I guess I kept cutting in the middle. What was the lowdown? You went and bought some. And
I was at the airport, and the flight was delayed for almost 3 hours. Now, I have a policy about eating solids before I get on a plane because I don't want to have to make hard lemonade in the bathroom. So I had not eaten since breakfast for the most part. I had a little breakfast. I thought I can get away with that and be pretty clean by the time I got to the airport. So I was planning on eating when I got home. So now I'm sitting there. Flight's delayed a half hour, 45 minutes, hour. Now I'm really starving. So this girl sits down next to me, and she's got an Auntie Annie's pretzel. And I said, where is that close? Because I thought maybe I can have her keep an eye on my luggage, and I'll just run and get it because I wanted to keep that seat. I was happy with my seat.
Right.
She said, it's right next to the gate here. Oh, great. So I ran and got a couple pretzels and some lemonade. And I'm sitting there eating the pretzels, and she's eating her pretzels, and you got the bag. You're eating them out of the bag. And a woman about 5 minutes later comes and sees us eating the pretzels. She goes, hey, they just threw all the pretzels away for the day because they're closed. Like, why are you paying for pretzels? And I'm thinking, I guess she was inferring that she would, if she wanted to, or maybe she already didn't hid one, she grabbed some out of the trash. But I don't know what her point was, to be honest, to make us look like idiots.
Yeah.
And at that point, I got the cinnamon all over my lap, my luggage, my shirt. Because that cinnamon is, they load those things up with cinnamon.
Well, as long as you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was fine. That was my meal because I had to do I can't have dinner now because by the time I get home, it's too late to eat. So that was my dinner. Two pretzels, two cinnamon pretzels, and a lemonade. What's that?
That's what you're going wheels up with that dough in your gut.
Yeah.
That's a short trip. I mean, what's it take, 45 minutes by air from Pittsburgh to Chicago?
It's from gate to gate, it's about an hour 15.
You can suck it up that long.
Yeah, sure.
But I
was trying to talk myself out of being hungry, but every time they added another 20 minutes, I thought, oh, God, I'm starving. But I don't want to give up my seat because I like my seat here. It was very comfortable.
Right.
And
I got you.
When I saw her with the pretzel, though, when they sit down and start eating, then I got to eat something, and it was right next to the gate.
Why didn't you drive this year? You flew instead of driving?
I never drive to Pittsburgh.
I thought, no, wait a minute. You had your mother-in-law in the back seat.
That was from
Ohio somewhere.
That was in New York. We flew to New York last year. Then we drove from New York back to Pittsburgh because we stopped in Gettysburg and Hershey. So we broke the trip up.
Yeah.
It wasn't straight driving back to Pittsburgh. That's why. And it was pretty cool. I hadn't done a road trip in a long time.
Well, we're 6 hours from South Bend of there, and with two kids in the car, I put a DVD player in the car, thank God.
That's not bad. It's not a bad drive.
It's not horrible. No, but I remember the story you were telling with your mother-in-law in the back seat, and you were tuning in, and Dean Richards was on the show, and some woman called and griped about you.
Wasn't this trip. This was a couple of Christmases ago.
No, it wasn't this trip.
I'm driving. I'm thinking, I wonder if I can get the station 500 miles away, so I put it on.
Right.
Dean's filling in. And I swear to God, my mother-in-law's in the car. I swear to God, 10 seconds later, he takes a call. Dean, I hope you take over this show. I like you a lot better than Gary. And I said,
Gary sucks. Pretty much.
And the reception's getting bad here. And I turned it off right away. I thought, well, she got her wish. Well, some of it.
Yeah. Well, to part of it, yeah.
Yeah. It took a few years.
I hope she has a laptop to listen to you now.
Well, she's happy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a lot more than her, it looks like. All right, Wes, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Take care, buddy.
Fatheads, if I'm thinking of a restaurant.
Is it in Pittsburgh, he said?
Downtown, he said, somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Fatheads. I hate when people bring up food at this, because I'm starving now.
It's right now.
I'm starving. Because I got here at 9:30 to get my office together.
It does look nice.
Yeah, and I got it all together, but I didn't eat anything. So I have not had anything to eat.
From when? Last night?
Last night I stayed after the show for 3 hours to start it, get that process going, and I didn't have anything to eat then. I have not had I'll be honest with you.
What
is today?
Today's Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, okay.
No,
yesterday.
No, today's Tuesday, right?
So yesterday they had pizza, right?
Pizza-ish, yeah.
And Craig said, hey, there's pizza upstairs. Oh, great. So he got me some pizza. I had pizza at about noon. Yesterday, that was the last time I had a meal. So last night,
why didn't you have when you went home?
Because it was too late. Because I don't want to eat a big meal and go to bed.
And you weren't hungry this morning at all?
I'm very hungry right now.
But I want to get that triple zero waistline, and I think I'm working on it.
But this is not the way to do it.
I have some Fannie Mae candy in my desk, so I popped a few of those last night, and that's about it.
What did you have? What candy?
The Frangos.
Oh.
The Frango Mints. So I had a couple of Frangos. I'm living on some Frangos right now.
So you're honestly one of those people that forgets to eat.
Well, when I get going, because I had to get, because I can't come in tomorrow and look at all this junk again.
But when you woke up this morning, why didn't you have a piece of toast?
Because I had a dentist appointment at 8:30.
Oh.
So I didn't want to get a bunch of junk in my mouth.
You can't eat before
when he's working on my teethers. So then, right from
the
dentist.
And then your teeth are clean, so you kind of don't want to muck them up.
Well, I got here, and I just got right into it.
Right.
So then I'm thinking, and I didn't think I'd be here for 3 hours last night. But, again, when you're unloading these boxes, there's so much little junk. So I just kept working and working. And then this morning I just wanted to get this done.
So you didn't get it done in 3 hours last night?
No. I'm telling you. You saw
there
what I had.
There was a lot of work done.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So, and it wasn't like I'd do something and sit down for 10 minutes, take a break. I was just trying to get all this stuff done. But now that I stop and think about it, I've had two Frangos since yesterday.
Are you going to stand up and faint?
I think I am.
That would be very concerning.
We're not going to have one of those, do you feel lightheaded? moments?
I've had some iced tea and some coffee.
Oh, that's as good as food.
Yeah. Is that a Frappuccino?
Aaron, who is the assistant producer of both of my producers.
She's shadowing the shadows.
Her father and I have been friends for 40 years, and her father was a big runner all his life.
He would run.
Well, he's slowed down now. He just had a surgery today.
Really?
Was his hip? Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he had his hip done.
Because he would run by the window
10 miles,
downstairs.
10 miles a
every
day.
Day.
10 miles a day, every day, 7 days a week, snow, sleet, whatever.
Yeah, the winter.
He did it every day since I've known him.
So now he has to have his hip replaced?
And then we'd go to lunch, he'd have a spoon full of coffee. The guy, he is triple zero.
Yeah, he weighs very thin.
What is your father's waist? It's about 27, if anything.
It's a triple zero.
Yeah, it's a triple zero.
Well, she's thin, too.
Yeah, but this guy would run. I'm thinking, if I ran that much, I could eat 5,000 calories a day, but he doesn't.
Well, he was real. I mean, yeah, he was like a rail.
You've seen him. You saw him go
by. When he runs by. He
was running. The Allstate studio.
Yeah. He doesn't run by this window anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see him here.
Unless he's running in on the rooftops.
But look at Mary Vandeveld. She's one of those runners, too. And there's just zero body fat on those people.
Does she run a lot?
Yeah. Well, she lives next to a running path beside.
And then her cousin was a bicyclist.
Wasn't he in
one of the leading with
the French, not the French Open,
Tour de France? Yeah. Well, he rode with Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, he was part of the American team.
He wasn't gopped up on the goop, right?
Yeah, he was.
He was too.
Yeah,
he had
a hard thing for the family to deal with.
I don't know how those guys do that. I mean, what's the really?
It's a race.
I'd be gopped up too.
Well, this year they're taking it through to get some more, to try to get some excitement about it and try to get away from its past. Even though it's the Tour de France, it started in England. they're doing it in England to try to get some more national, some more international support for it.
Here's a text: Philly is a crap hole.
Oh.
Bibble is right. Had the first arraignment court and jail in the bowels of the stadium.
Yeah,
they're not fans; they're thugs.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I knew they were crazy. But
no, they
that's
actually
crazy
because there were so many. The cops couldn't handle all the disorderly conduct. So they're like, okay, we're just going to have to, we'll do it here. They had like a night court judge.
This guy here said, imagine with everybody's phone capable of taking video and pictures, somebody gets you picking pretzels out of a garbage can. And even though I'm in Pittsburgh, the woman right behind me in the security line was from the area, and
she knew you.
She knew me, and so you never know. That's why I can't do the nude beach. You just never know.
And that's why you can't shave naked in the locker.
That too. As much as I want to do these things.
You could still do the nude beach as long as you're saucy about it. Hold in your tummy.
The constraints of fame.
Oh, I made a mistake here. Frango isn't Fannie Mae.
That's Macy's. Marshall Field.
It's Macy's. Fannie Mae is Mint Meltaway. I did have Mint Meltaways.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, Frango's used to be the Martin. Well, there is no Marshall Fields anymore.
Oh, God.
150 years!
Yeah, and we've been so debilitated since.
Life goes on.
Really doesn't matter, does it?
To be honest with you, I do miss...
Don't be honest with me anymore.
I miss Fields.
What do you miss? How many times did you go to Fields?
No, that's where I used to shop. When I would go the once or twice a year that I went to the store, I would go to Marshall Fields. They always had a nice level of at least men's clothing. I don't know how it was for women, but I always liked the stuff they had. I don't think Macy's has that level.
Von Maur or Nordstrom.
Marshall Fields was at the level it should have been, it'd still be in business, right?
I guess.
There's a reason why it's not in business anymore.
I mean, Nordstrom's is very nice.
Oh, yeah.
I do like Nordstrom.
Because you like shoes. And they have so many shoes.
Well, didn't they start as a shoe place? I think that's what they started as initially.
But they've taken the bars out of the men's department, haven't they?
Oh, they have really?
They had a bar?
They had a bar.
They always have the piano player.
Because I know my husband went out shopping for shirts and came home looking just a little glassy. What were you doing?
That wasn't free, was it?
I don't think so, but he was into the whole shop. All of a sudden, his shopping experience was awesome.
Wow. How long ago was that?
Yeah. When I want to say it was, maybe 10 years ago. God, time.
Before he went to AA?
Every 15 minutes, I'm having breakfast.
How long has his medallion been good for?
He's got the 25-year chip.
Speaking of ice cubes, most people are happy to use regular homemade ice cubes in their drinks, but there is actually such a thing as a perfect luxury ice cube available to those who could afford it. It's supposed to be healthier, last longer than those measly chunks of ice we have lying around in our freezers. The price, a whopping $325 for a bag of 50 cubes. According to the manufacturers, Glace Luxury Ice Company, these cubes are definitely worth the dough. They provide minimum dilution and maximum cooling. Their luxury ice is also tasteless, which allows consumers to maximize the beverage experience at high-profile parties and events.
Well, that's just silly.
I like the store-bought ice. I like that clear ice.
Oh, really?
I do like that.
From the...
Yeah. A bag of ice?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That clear ice.
Oh, yeah. How come my ice at home isn't? Like, how do they make it? What's the recipe?
Says the guy who eats out of the garbage.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, what's the recipe? Ice is ice. Frozen water is frozen water. How come that is clear,
it's
yet at home,
clear.
It's not.
Company insists that the good old-fashioned way of making ice, filling plastic trays with water, might actually be damaging people's health. Traditional machine ice, generally made with local tap water, may contain upwards of 150 impurities and carcinogens, resulting in poor-tasting and potentially unhealthy ice. Each cube is hand-carved from a 300-pound, 8,000-cubic-inch block of purified ice, which is made by freezing water from the outside, so the center of the ice is stirred to allow gases to escape. When they are almost frozen, they are drained and replaced with sprayed layers, making them perfectly clear in appearance.
Oh.
Then they are shaped into cubes or spheres, completely clear and free from impurities. The cubes measure exactly 2.5 inches on each side and can last up to 40 minutes in a drink. The spheres are supposed to be the most mathematically efficient way to cool your drink. The ice is then stuffed and sold in resealable bags with a one-way air valve to push out possible dirty ambient air. Even if they do melt, you are left with a bag of pristine water. I hope so, for $325.
So then is gas in my...
That must be it.
They somehow
push the gas out.
So gas must be in the ones at home, then. That's why they're foggy.
How many pounds do you get for $329?
You get 50 cubes.
50 cubes?
Wow!
50 cubes!
Because I'm looking, Bloomingdale's has got those metal ice cubes. Have you seen those things?
No.
They're stainless steel, so you just put these little cool stainless steel balls in the freezer, And obviously, then they're not going to dilute your drink and all that other stuff. But they're $24 for four of them, and they're really pretty.
She's showing a picture on camera, too.
Here, look. Hey, everybody, look. But, well, don't find them online, and it seems like a much better value, and it's got all the other stuff that they're talking about.
Yeah, but look at the labor intense. Look at all, what they're putting layers or hand.
You have an automatic ice maker in your refrigerator in the tray. Fills the tray.
Right.
Do you periodically dump all the ice out?
Yeah.
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 Got to do that.
Because, I don't like old ice. It starts to smell.
Right. You like future ice, like this.
When your fridge starts defrosting them and they start getting small, you know they've been in there too long. It's time for them to go.
Yeah, I will go by and shake them. I don't like my ice cubes together. I like them individualized. So, like, sometimes when it drops it in, there's like four together.
Yeah, I like just throwing them in the sink and let that melt into the sink.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And do you ever then run the water to try to melt them quicker?
Sometimes, but I like it to melt organically.
But it's kind of cool to see how...
If nobody's around, I'll do it.
Yes.
It's the five-year-old in you just loves that.
That is the coolest thing to watch ice melt.
Oh. Yeah.
It really is.
When you're high.
I don't need. Who needs a smartphone? I could sit there for 25 minutes. But, yeah, how long do you usually use your ice before you throw it out?
Certainly before vacation, what I did was, and sometimes if you have a shower that you aren't using often, that'll back up in the sewer smell, you know, that smell because it's dry. So this time I did something. I combined two things. I poured the tray of ice into the shower and let it melt.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Look at that.
Thought I'd try something with this.
That's a cool idea.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah.
I'd like to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like shaking the ice every so often just to make sure that I don't like to grab two cubes together. I like
that's the only coolness you have in your house. Oh, your wife probably puts it in a bag.
You want to laugh?
That's her pillow.
You want to laugh?
Oh, I do.
When it was 90 a couple of days ago, I was literally opening up the freezer and going, oh, does this feel good? I was just sticking my head.
You're so 1960s. You have an air conditioner.
The thermostat was set at what when it was 90?
What do you mean?
The air conditioning
was turned off.
Oh, it's turned off. It's
completely off.
Oh, yeah, off. It's not. There's no thermostat. It's off.
All right.
It's not
off. Why? I'll tell you what. I got a story.
It was 80 in our house the other day, and it was 90 upstairs.
Why don't you?
So then I let her turn it on upstairs, because, I mean, what am I going to do?
I let her.
I want to invite these people to your house. This is out of Texas. The heat is rising for some homeowners. Thieves are stealing entire central air conditioning units, and neighbors worry that the trend is far from over. It's happening in the Mason Lakes subdivision, if you're near there. And they could be listening on the stream on the Gear Force. So this one family woke up. Their entire central air conditioning unit was gone. And they believe that these crooks are after the copper inside the units to salvage, take them to a salvage yard and get that money. AC
they've been
units,
doing it around here.
Yeah, three AC units stolen in recent months. So why don't you just sell yours for scrap? You're not using it.
Well, first of all, you know, we've got two. We've got one for the bottom and one for the top. So that's a saving grace, because at least when she needs it, because she complains that it's 90 upstairs, all right. So then she turns it on
all
there.
Right.
But at least downstairs, we're not cooling the whole house.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the air on, but you have to shave my heels. That's the deal.
There's always a swap.
Thank you.
There's always a swap. No, but, I mean, but like our air conditioner, I've got one in the attic, so, I mean, that wouldn't be easy for them to take. I don't know how they would even get
in the attic? You mean a ceiling fan?
No, the
a box air conditioner?
No, no,
like
no.
Like a window air?
No, the thing, what do they call the
compressor?
Yeah, is that what it's called?
It's in the attic?
Yeah, because that's where we have the vents for the upstairs that blow the air in the upstairs. Out of the ducts, right? That's where the guy went.
Anyway,
he went through this little cubby hole, and he said, I got to go up there.
Yeah, I got to go up there. That's four. There's nothing up there.
I'm going to root through some of your
stuff.
Well,
no, because we had a leak in the ceiling, and he said that the compressor, I think, was leaking or something.
But that's so weird that it would be.
I've never heard that before. I've heard of ceiling fans up there to blow the hot air out of the attic.
You never heard of.
Because usually the compressor's outside.
Well, then what's
next to your house?
Well, then I have two of those.
Okay.
But then I have to have something upstairs, right?
Well, how much did this guy charge you?
Gary, go ahead. Tell him what he's got upstairs.
He called the electrician and said, you got to get over there. Well, no, this guy has no idea. You can take him for a ride.
There's two things. There's like two things by my back porch, right?
Those are your air conditioning units.
And they have the big fan in it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But then, isn't there some other thing?
He had to finagle your flam shooter and scratch your flag joint.
Sure there is.
I saw it.
In the attic, I've never heard that before. Yeah, I've heard of ceiling fans for what I've just said.
Or sometimes like baffles or something like that.
No, that's what I am.
But nothing that
right
would
now.
Be leaking.
I'm baffled.
You're baffled and you don't have anything upstairs.
Well, isn't there the thing?
He won't turn on his air conditioning because he doesn't want to spend the money, but he spent thousands on these guys that come in. And take him for a ride.
Okay, we have the thing in the basement, right? What's that?
The furnace.
No, but the other thing is blowing
the
water.
The furnace and air conditioning unit.
That's, but they're separate.
Blowing the water.
They're blowing the air up, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. Central air, they got
so
that.
I'm so confused.
That piece in the back, the compressor in the backyard.
Right, that's outside, house, right.
Right, and that's about it that I know of.
Tied into your furnace, which is also your air conditioning
unit. But my furnace is on the other side of the basement. Then there's this other like metal thing that's got all these chutes.
Your plenum. I believe that's a plenum.
And what does that do? Isn't that shooting the air up? Up
but
into
that's
the vent?
Leslie, all right, hold on. Where is his taint? Because I'm sure he doesn't know where that is either. From a hole in the ground.
Well, all I know is we had a drip. Something was dripping, and there was a stain.
Your mom had a drip.
Yeah.
And so then the guy said, well, no, I got to go up there. And he went into the little hole. There's this giant thing.
Mm-hmm.
A transformer? Is that the word?
312-521-8600. If you want to take
this, so it's like a Mustang sometimes, and then it's a robot that saves the world.
If you have a tool belt and want to make a few hundred bucks on this guy, call. All right, here's Melissa. Melissa.
Hey, let me explain this. Let me turn you down first. So he's got two units probably. Like we had a really big Victorian, and we had one.
Right.
One in the basement and one in the attic. So it was zoned. So it's zoned air conditioning. So we had one, and sometimes it would leak if it got, you know, the little pan got too full.
Right,
and
exactly.
The fans were outside. Right, Jim?
Yeah, I had the pan. Something happened to the pan, and that's why there was a leak on the ceiling.
His brain pan.
So what happened? I have zoned electricity, or what do I have?
You have zoned air conditioning. So you have two zones, right? You have two thermostats.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I have something. So I'm not crazy, right? I got something in my
head.
What's in the attic?
A headache. I needed to call and straighten out my headache. So that's what you have. You have zoned air conditioning.
So what do I have in my attic then?
You have a compressor.
Then what are the two things in the yard?
They're fans.
So the fans blow it into the compressor?
The fan blows through the condenser. The contractor, he knows.
I've never heard of it in the attic, though.
Yes, they were in my attic. Because it does the second floor, then the second and third floor.
Because they're separate.
Floors.
Yeah, because this one is a
How
standard
old is your house?
My home is like 80 years old, 90 years old.
Mine was 108.
Yeah.
So this was
maybe this is a configuration
system.
Of older houses.
I don't know.
No. It was a space pack system that we put in like 13 years ago.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you know what space pack is? You know, it's like it's just tubes they run through. Because we don't have forced air. We have radiators.
I'm getting a lot of text. The air handler is in the attic.
Correct.
Not so and crazy as you thought
the compressor
would.
Is in.
In the yard.
The yard.
Right.
The yard, sorry.
There
I got
gotcha.
You. You're right. You're not driving me crazy anymore. But the fan is running outside.
Right, exactly. The big fan is in the yard. Yeah.
Right. And then what cools off the air is upstairs, and then it pulls the humidity out. When it's super humid, that pan can get full really fast.
And then this one, Baba Bibble is an idiot. Pure and simple.
Right,
yeah, but
that's
the old standby. Anybody could say that.
Yeah, that's
an
easy.
Old fallback.
That's a cheap shot.
Yeah, that's an easy
right,
one.
So, Jim, do you have radiator heat then?
Yeah, we have radiators, yeah.
So you have like a newfangled. So this isn't an old house thing. It's a newfangled thing for old houses.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. This is not the original air conditioning from 1910. This was put in.
Exactly. Even if Mr. Carrier had not invented it yet.
So even if it's a hot night, you don't turn the air on in the bedrooms. Is that the policy now?
Well, no. Like I said, so is 90. So when because my wife goes up to sleep before I do, so then she turned it on.
And then you came up and yelled at her.
But I'm downstairs and it's like 80 downstairs because I'm like,
and you
I'm
just
not
lie there in a home. Pool of sweat.
Well, I'm not. I have a fan that just blows.
And he
and
does
then he
what?
Sticks it.
that one guy.
He gets you cold drinks all night.
That one guy.
And you watch Phil Silvers together at 2 a.m.
Like the other night, she was upstairs and she screams down, "Can you turn the TV down?"
Yeah, because you are hard of hearing.
Well, not only that, but I got a fan in my face, so I can't. I have
okay.
to put the television.
That's why he doesn't go to bed with her. He's all settled downstairs.
Yeah.
Soon as she goes to bed, that's when the fun starts for him.
I'm like, I got a fan in my face. How am I going to hear the television? Because the fan is blowing in my face, so I have to have it louder. It's like, close the door.
Okay. Well, how many times do the cops come over to your house a week for a domestic?
Seriously, if we get a drone with a camera, the first place we need to fly it is outside his window.
I don't
just
see why any
minute.
Of this sounds crazy.
Of course you don't.
It sounds very, this is the way I think everybody lives.
Of course you do.
But why would I air condition the entire house? You know how much that would cost?
All right.
It's two floors.
Bill?
Yes, sir.
You're on.
How you doing, Gary?
Good.
I love your new show. Your format is awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, he probably has an air handler upstairs, and it's just like a fan. I don't know. It's a split system, possibly, with two systems, kind of like one that takes care of the upstairs.
Yeah.
And one that takes care of the rest of the house.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
And it will drip up there because that's where your A-coil sits.
Right. Yeah, and, yeah. He said A-coil. Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, A-coil.
That sounds familiar.
Are you sure you said A-coil? Yeah.
That's exactly, you know, so he's got two different systems there. How large is your house? Is it a big house?
Well, it's not that big, but it's two, you know, it's two floors.
You got two condensers outside.
Yes,
two,
I do.
Two fan units outside. So that's two systems.
Yeah.
So you have two thermostats in your home.
Yes, I do. I have one for downstairs and one. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
His and hers.
So basically you have two furnaces.
Yes.
One which is in your attic, and then there's one that's in your basement. Two small furnaces.
Oh, I have one in my attic, too?
That you were saying was up in your attic, right?
Well, I have this box in the attic that has an E-coil.
Yeah, that's,
or an
that's
A-coil.
That's another furnace up there.
Oh.
And air conditioning unit.
Oh, all right.
So your thermostat, you can control your upstairs and your downstairs separately.
Exactly.
So it's two separate systems.
Well, then what's this silver thing that's not connected to my furnace, like Leslie's saying, that has all these ducts in it?
Or that's your ductwork. It's your ductwork.
All right.
The unit blows into that. It's a forced air system.
Yeah, because I have to put a filter in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a
you
forced
don't put
air
it in
system.
There, but a guy comes
yeah,
and puts
a guy
it in
that
there.
Puts yeah, yeah. I don't know where to put the filter.
Which,
$75.
Which is ridiculous. I don't understand why you do that.
What?
Because it's a simple task.
Oh, no, no. I put no.
No,
I put, no.
No,
I use the 14.5 by 20s or something.
Exactly.
I actually go to Menards and buy those. I know how to put those in.
But you have two different systems in your house.
Yeah.
So there's two small systems rather than one large system because, like you say, you had 90 degrees upstairs and you had 80 degrees downstairs.
No, he actually has three systems, those two and the one on his head. Do you take that off at night because it's so hot?
No, it's glued on. I told you the main
time. Why don't you just turn on the upstairs system for sleeping purposes and just leave the rest of the house hot as hell.
That's what I do. That's exactly what I do. My wife turns it on about 9 o'clock.
And he lays there in a pool of sweat.
And then I'm downstairs with the fan in my face.
Watching Andy Griffith.
With the fan in my face.
Because running two systems, you know, can be pricey, but
well, this is what I'm
saying.
You
make a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're dinks. Dual income, no kids.
Yeah.
So you got two systems going on there.
Right. So I basically only use one.
Right.
No, so, I use the one upstairs because she needs to sleep in the cold.
Right. Everyone.
She's used to
the. How do you get sleep?
Well, it's not the only frigid part of the marriage. Thank you, Bill. Here's one, and I think this says a lot too. Where is it? Back to the pretzel conversation. Bibble throws away change but will dumpster dive for free pretzels. Again, he's an idiot.
It's all about
up.
The nuisance of the penny and the nickel. It's not about being cheap.
You just don't want to carry them around, so you just throw them on the ground.
Because it's not adding up to anything.
Morons, the fan in the yard is cooling the fluid in the lines. This is not blowing air into the house.
Yeah, see, I don't know what's going on. That's why I called the guy.
You got to have guys.
I called the guy. That's my motto. Isn't there a guy that does this?
Tech help. I have an LG smart TV connected to the internet but can't find any way to listen to the show. Any link that I can click on doesn't seem to be, and it's continued somewhere else, supported by my TV. TV does not support Flash Player and file downloading is not supported. Anybody on that one? Want to field that one? All right. Kreef, why don't one of you grab that text and try to walk them through that, please? Thank you. Tomorrow is what?
Wednesday.
No, it isn't. Today's Wednesday.
No, today's Tuesday.
That's the nice thing about starting on a Tuesday.
Today? What happened to Tuesday?
It was yesterday.
Oh, because you were off on Monday.
You want a guy to come over and tell you what day of the week it is, too?
I really didn't. Wow.
Yeah.
Week's almost over.
Will there be movie reviews tomorrow? Do we know what Eric is going to review yet? I was reading about that Tammy movie, which didn't do what they thought it was going to do.
Yeah.
Although it only cost $20 million to make.
Probably made its money back. Yeah.
And they said, but it cost more to market, and you had another $20, $30. So say it's a $50 million movie, and it didn't light up the box office. And Melissa McCarthy's husband, they both wrote it.
They wrote it. He directed it.
Directed it, produced, da-da-da.
Yeah.
So they were probably thinking, hey, because of my success, I can do this. Yeah, but they're taking a little beating on this movie. And I thought, I said this to Eric when I saw the trailer, doesn't look like it's going to be any good.
And apparently, because I heard an interview with her, this is a, you know, because her husband she met when she was in L.A. with the Groundlings and that whole thing. So he's, you know, and this is a movie that they've been writing for 6 years. So this was one of these things where when she got the success from Bridesmaids, everybody wanted her.
Right, and
so
the then, heat.
Yeah, so then they get into the, they talk to the studios, and they're like, hey.
Whatever you want to do.
What do you
they
got?
They bought the script unread.
Right. So they said, what do you got? Do you have anything? And they said, oh, do we have something? We've got this script that we've been working on. Oh, perfect. And it's basically that same role.
That's what it said in one of the reviews.
That playing
that
all the time
playing
now.
That same card, but if it works.
Yeah, I know, but how many times do you keep going to the
but world? I think it would still work, but I don't think this one was written very well.
No.
Yeah, because I have so many movies in the pipeline. Yeah. Show 28.
No, 26.
26.
26. Well, you guys, didn't you write with John Hughes? Oh, that's right. You turned him down.
Shut up. Eric?
Yeah, hey, Gary.
What do you
it's
got?
It's Eric calling back. I'm your tech guy. The LG television set. Yeah, the LG TVs, when they've got all the applications on them, they've got stuff like Vudu, Netflix, and that, so you can watch movies and that. What he needs to go out and get, if he wants to listen to you over his TV off the internet, he needs to get what they call a WDTV Live, Western Digital TV. And it's W as in William, D as in David, TV Live. And it has the tune-in application like your cell phone, so you can listen to WGN.FM.
All right. Thank you.
And you can hook it up to the TV. Yeah, the Roku boxes, the Sony boxes, they're an external device. You can find them at Walmart, wherever. They're about $100. But you can hook this thing up to your TV, and not only can you get Netflix and whatever else, but you can get the tune-in application on them, and then you can listen to your show through the TV.
Perfect. Appreciate that, Eric.
Right. Not a problem,
Thank
Gary.
You.
Take care.
And, ladies and gentlemen, what you heard today was completely commercial-free.
Oh, that's right.
Commercial-free.
Only two songs.
And now I'm not saying that I'm going to embrace that all the time, because at some point you got to have commercials to pay the bills. But until that time,
wow,
you did not hear one commercial
4 hours.
In 4 hours.
And how many songs?
Put
two?
That in your commercial radio and smoke it.
Three songs. You played McCartney, Butterfield, and Bowie, right?
Was that all?
I think that's all.
Well, I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but you got it. You got 4 hours commercial free, someday there will be commercials. Again, you got to pay the bills with those commercials. So I'm not poo-pooing that. But that's what we're doing. It's kind of a summertime thing.
Who else can say that?
Name one.
Can't.
Can't. I'm listening, but I can't hear it.
Can't hear it.
Thank you for joining the Gare Force today on the Super G. Macca's in town. Sir Paul at the United Center. So I thought I'd wrap things up with something off Flowers in the Dirt. This one on WGN.FM. Good night. Thanks for listening.
Did I ever take you in my arms, look you in the eye, tell you that I do? Did I ever open up my heart, let you look inside? If I never did it, I was only waiting for a better moment that didn't come. There never could be a better moment. On the cheek, say that you were mine, thank you for the smile. Did I ever knock upon your door, try to get inside? If I never did it, I was only waiting for a better moment that didn't come. There never could be a better moment. This one is gliding above the ocean. A god is riding upon his back. How calm the water and bright the rainbow. Fade this world to black. What opportunities did we allow to flow by? Feeling like the timing wasn't quite right. What kind of magic might have worked if we'd stayed calm? Couldn't I have given you a test?